The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
Hi, my name is... My name is...
Frank Kirsch.
My name is...
Andy Hart.
My name is...
Paul Perillo.
The show is PFW in Progress. My name is Mr. Liff. I lurk in lakes like the Loch Ness. World's best talk show. None can come close. Oh, how rude of me. Let me introduce the host, Frank Kirsch. Let's start with him first. His shoulders are boulders about as big as planet Earth. The captain of the ship, without a doubt, he's the boss. Fred, say a little something. Oh, wait, his mic's off. Andy Hart. Sometimes he's Andy. Catch him after lunch break, he could make the earthquake. He's the real wild card, truly enough said. One brain contained within the width of two heads. Paul Perillo, he's the salt in the soda. 2 liters, 4 liters, gotta meet his quota. I'm out of here, y'all, I gotta catch a flight to Greece. Tell Fred to stop dreaming about Geno's peace. My name is
Frank Kirsch.
My name is
Andy Hart.
My name is
Paul Perillo.
My name is the show is
W in Progress and Eric Scalavino.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. It is Tuesday here at Gillette Stadium, divisional playoff week in Foxborough. We're getting ready for the Baltimore Ravens. And are you a scared? Because I sense a lot of fear out there from Patriots fans. And
from you.
Not from me.
No, not from Fred.
False
from
bravado. Me. I can see it in his eyes.
Fred's not scared. I'm enjoying every bit of this. I'm having a good time. I really am. I'm looking forward to this game.
You're a fraud.
Why do you say that?
I think it's false bravado. I think you deep down are very much worried about T-Sizzle in this matchup.
I am absolutely not. Listen, I give the Ravens respect like I give any other team, but I don't fear them.
Well, you shouldn't give them like any other team, because not any other team has come into Foxborough and beaten you twice, and you needed a Billy Cundiff miss and a Lee Evans drop to beat them the one time.
Any other team. What about 41-7 last year?
Oh, regular season games, yeah.
It doesn't matter. They were fighting for their playoff
life. Any game where
Tavon
Wilson is the one piling on the points, I deem irrelevant.
I'm just asking, does that game count for anything?
Yes.
No, it counts for something.
Whoa. You beat them.
Hold on. Paul says no.
You got a victory, and you were impressive. That counts.
If the Patriots play this game the way they play in the regular season, then there will be absolutely nothing to be concerned about. If they play the way they've played in the playoffs over the last 5 years, then there'll be something to be concerned about. That's why it matters. That's why the regular season games don't matter to me. The playoff games do.
It's where Paul gets into Brady in the postseason.
That wasn't a Brady
you
in the postseason.
Keep your
that
Brady.
Was a
I'll
Patriots
take my Flacco, Perillo says.
That was a Patriots in the postseason comment, not a Brady
you,
in the postseason
you know,
comment.
You are well
that's big, that's
versed
a big part
in
of it.
Criticizing Tom Brady's postseason.
That's a big part of it. And you, off the air, just as we started talking to our buddy No Sox, said, I'll let you know after the first series.
That's all I need.
I would agree with that.
They hit
Which Brady.
Brady
do we see? Do we see regular season Brady or postseason Brady?
Or the guy who tripped over the goal line and just threw the ball up.
Exactly.
Yeah, don't you think it's more about let's see what the defense is this game?
Our defense?
Freddie, that's why I don't have any fear of losing. Because I think the Patriots, if they get postseason Brady and postseason offense, can still win.
Right.
In the past, they couldn't.
That's my thing.
I'm not so sure if postseason Brady includes a pick and a strip sack.
Well, I said could still win. I didn't say will.
I have no.
Win.
I think our defense will be fine.
If the sky falls, the Patriots will lose. Okay, good analysis.
Right. So Suggs
in Doomerville doing what they've done for 17 weeks
is the sky falling.
If the Ravens
turn it over,
if the Ravens turn it over 4 times with 3 of those returned for touchdowns, they will lose.
Right.
Like they did in the regular season game last year.
But if both teams play their games, I think the Patriots are a better team. Don't you?
I think the Patriots are a better team, but it doesn't matter.
Yeah, I think the
that
Patriots
trench
are
matchup can change the game. That one matchup,
sure, Ken. But I think the Patriots will handle it. I think the Patriots are more equipped to defend the Ravens' offense than they ever were.
God, yes. The Patriots' defense is far better than it's ever been.
I agree with that.
And I feel the same way I did.
To me, that's a world of difference.
That's why the Patriots are almost double-digit favorites. They're more than a touchdown favorite.
It's not a world of difference if Brady gets hounded and goes down the pooper.
I don't know who you're talking to that's afraid. I don't really know. I'm not.
Andy, Paul.
I just told you I think the Patriots will win.
Can I tell you who he's talking to?
But I am a little concerned about seeing the postseason.
You are a fraud. You are Kevin Garnett of radio announcers.
Oh, my God.
You are a fraudulent bull.
I didn't know
find a soft European who won't fight back, you'll bully him. But if there's a guy that challenges you, like the Ravens are going to challenge you, you get scared, but you're still going to say, I'm not scared.
Yeah, I'm
5 minutes and we're into PFW progress.
Eating it up. Andy can, you know, say whatever he wants. I'm actually having a great time this week. And I'm going to.
Well, why wouldn't you?
I'm going to continue.
But who's
having
not
a
having
time?
A great time waiting for your team to play? In
I
the
think
playoffs.
There's a lot of people dreading this game.
Well, that's silly.
Why would you dread it?
I think there are a lot
that's
of people
silly.
Dreading this game.
Anybody who dreads their team playing in a playoff game shouldn't be a fan.
I agree.
What are you dreading playing in a playoff game?
So you are not prepared to lose.
Wait a minute.
I am not emotionally prepared to lose.
But even if
you were
emotionally prepared to lose, even if you thought your team was the underdog. Why would you dread your team playing in a playoff game?
Right.
That's you play the whole year to get to the playoffs.
I agree with that.
I'll give you one example.
If I was an Arizona Cardinals fan, I was dreading that game because I knew what Ryan Lindley was.
But that was a little different. I wouldn't be dreading it. I would be lamenting the fact that I had this
Garrett Gilbert
derailed
starting,
by the fact that I had my fourth.
If Garrett Gilbert were starting this game, I would dread watching that game.
Yeah,
that's his name.
No,
right?
See, it would be different for me. I would be disappointed that I had a promising season derailed by the fact that my quarterback got hurt.
Right, but I would dread.
But
that.
I'm talking about my team. I'm going into the game with my team as constituted, and I'm dreading it. Why?
That'd be stupid.
That's idiotic. Why would anybody be dreading their team playing in a playoff?
I think
game?
There's a lot of fans who are still have the PTSD from the Super Bowl losses, and they dread playoff time now when it comes to... I mean,
so are they idiots because they think Baltimore's good?
They spend so much mental time thinking, who is the team that we want to play this week? Who is the team we don't want to play? It nauseates me when you're the number one seed in the playoffs. I don't care. Bring them on. We are the best team in the AFC.
But isn't that what you do when you have a bye week? You kind of fill it up with some of that stuff?
No.
Can you have two different things be true? Can you look at the three teams that they had possibilities of playing and say the one I'd least like to see is Baltimore and have that be true and also say, but I think the Patriots will beat them.
Oh, God, yes.
Yeah.
Because that's where I am.
Because that's exactly where I am.
Because the other two didn't have a shot in hell.
I don't think Cincinnati had zero chance. Indianapolis had a 2% chance.
Right. And Andrew
Luck had an out-of-body experience.
Right.
Baltimore can beat you.
They have a 10% chance.
Right.
Actually, in all fairness,
I got some playback going on in my head.
I'm giving Baltimore a 30% chance to win this
okay,
game.
But so we're all in agreement. But
they got a 1-3 shot, and you're not mentally prepared to lose?
But yet you're setting this up like
we're all I like 70% odds.
But why are you disagreeing with us then?
But 1-3.
We all feel the same way. We all feel the Patriots are going to win the game.
Okay.
But yet, we all respect Baltimore.
Well, then
and
I'm
what
not,
they've done
then
over
I'm
the
not
past
talking to you guys.
Years.
I'm talking to the people who are dreading this game. Who are fearful of the Baltimore T-Sizzle. Ooh.
But again, why can't they both be true? Yeah, why can't you be
Then I think you're talking
you
to Tom Brady.
Why can't you be
I think he's afraid of T-Sizzle.
But
I think he's
why can't
and he should be.
Why
the
can't
man's
you
a
respect that and still think the Patriots are going to win?
I don't respect that.
Because I haven't heard one person on the radio say the Patriots are going to lose. I've heard a lot of people say.
Oh, I heard it this morning.
I've heard a lot of people say.
Kirk Minahan.
Oh, no, Minahan. I'm talking about he's talking about fans calling in. I'm scared of T-Sizzle. I haven't heard one person that has been afraid. I've heard people afraid. I agree with you on that. I've heard people say, this is the matchup I feared. The matchups don't work. But they all predict the Patriots to win a close game. So why can't that be accurate? Why can't you be fearful and respectful of the opponent, yet still think your team is better and going to win?
Well,
what's wrong with that?
Well, I think respect and fear are two different things.
But why? Well, what is wrong with it? Why do you sort of worry that the other team can beat you, but still feel that you will win? Why is that wrong?
It's not wrong.
Well, you just spent 7 minutes saying how wrong everybody is.
I'm just wondering why they're fearful. I think you respect a team. You always know that any team can beat you, especially in the playoffs. If they weren't a good team, they wouldn't be in the playoffs.
Don't you ever worry that you could lose a game that you should win?
But this, you know, the Patriots are the best team in the AFC. We should be going.
But why would you not worry about losing?
We should be going into this playoffs brimming with confidence.
And I think most people
brimming
are.
Brimming with confidence.
I think the vast majority of people that I've listened to are brimming with confidence.
Okay. Well,
I think that confidence took a little hit in December. when the offensive line didn't play well, you found yourself in, you know, some tight games, some tight first halves and different things. I think that confidence took a little bit of a hit in December. You don't think that played any?
I think that that is, yes, I do think that that's weighing into people's fear.
And the physicality.
And it's the offense.
The offensive line.
Yeah, they're worried about the offense.
They're basically saying, if Melvin Ingram can do that to Solder, what can Suggs do to him?
Here's what I hope. And look, there's no denying that the offense did not play well in December, particularly in the first half. You know, they ended the game on the season on a dud. I know that you can only really look at the first half of that game, but the first half of that game wasn't good.
Well, I wouldn't even look at the first half.
And that followed a trend. And here's what I hope doesn't happen. I hope Josh McDaniels doesn't go into this game, you know, and kind of panic if things once again don't start off clicking, because he should be an offensive coordinator for once that knows that he has a defense to back him up.
This feels like pointed criticism.
No.
For once.
No, listen, I don't blame him in the past in prior seasons for thinking that my offense has to win it for me.
What would be
they
an
don't
example
have
of panicking?
To anymore.
How would you define panicking?
Whatever his game plan is, deviating from it and thinking, oh, I got to score right now.
Okay, so what if and they feel like they have to score right now?
Why would they with the defense they have?
Because that might be the way they feel like they need to attack Baltimore. It happens to be the way I feel like they
should
attack Baltimore.
You want to score every time you have the ball.
No, but I'm saying...
And because they didn't score early in the
heavy,
last six games.
I'm saying screw the heavy run sets.
Forget about,
spread it out and throw the ball. That's what I think is the game plan.
And that's fine, but forget about being a
contrarian. So that's why I wanted to know what the panic was.
But don't be a... But
in that case, the panic would be a heavy set and running the ball, right?
Yes,
but
that's why I'm
like the flip.
Don't you realize the mindset of an offensive coordinator can be different when you know you have a defense that can back you up and you maybe can take some shots downfield that you wouldn't before. Maybe you can take some chances that you wouldn't before because you know or you believe that your defense will back you up and keep you in the game.
Okay, so
you can take more chances than you would instead of playing it conservatively.
So if they don't work and you fall behind, are you going to consider that they panicked and they threw the ball deep downfield and they took shots?
No, I want them to take shots.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, basically, whatever you're saying, if it works,
then they
did it right. If it doesn't work, they panicked.
Well, listen, I mean...
That's why I asked you to define what panic would mean.
I also feel like it's a way to rip Josh when he takes the Falcons job.
No matter. Yeah.
I think we're pre-ripping. Instead of a pre-mail, we're pre-ripping.
Yeah. I really want to go into this game as a defensive team, as a team that we know our defense can win this game for us, as opposed to prior years where it's always been on Brady's shoulders. It's no longer on Brady's shoulders.
But I don't even know what that means. Like, most people assume if you go into a game leaning on your defense, you feel comfortable running the ball and just taking a conservative approach. I don't think that's the approach for this offense.
I don't either.
I don't think that's what you should want to do.
Regardless, Rex Ryan can go into a game like that and say, we're going to run the ball and play defense. We're not very good on offense, but we have the defense to stay in this game, and we'll make two plays in the fourth quarter to win. That's not how the Patriots are constituted as a overall team.
No, I don't think they should get away with who they are offensively.
Well, who they are offensively is being aggressive, spreading them out.
Right.
When they see a defense like this, generally their plan is spread them out, quick throws. We're going to take it to you.
Get a
lead.
We're
going to keep Elvis Dumervil on the sideline. Yep. We're going to do everything we want to do.
Get a lead and then run the ball.
And I also hope that, you know, the Patriots are willing to take chances on defense. I hope that they're willing to, you know, run some exotic schemes, play some tricks up front, you know, and try to get at Flacco.
They won't do that much because they don't do that.
I don't want to see a lot of that. I don't want to give the opportunity for one play to beat you.
Because
I don't
not
think Flacco
do
can
that.
Beat you in 10.
But are they going to send Jamie Collins and Dante Hightower up the A-gap? Yes, they will. I guarantee we will see that. Are they going to run some twists on the line? Yes, they will. I guarantee. But that's not selling out exotic, zero back end kind of blitzes. That they're not going
to
do that.
They'll continue to do the stuff they've done all year.
They also shouldn't, by the way, because in my opinion, the Smith brothers versus Browner and Revis advantage Patriots. I think that's an advantage for the New England Patriots. I think you should win that battle. If you don't, okay, well, they're not as good as I think they can be, whatever. But I think you win that battle.
Yep.
Right?
I agree. I think our defense is the key to winning this game. as opposed to all these prior years where it's always been our offense.
I think the offensive line is the key to this game.
Controlling the offensive line, controlling the line of scrimmage, to me.
Nate Solder and Ryan Wendell are the key to this game. They get bitch slapped, you might lose.
Well, you cannot allow the other team to dictate the way the game is played, and you can't do that. You do that by controlling the line of scrimmage. If you're under siege and it's a low-scoring game and you're leaning on your defense, that's a game you can lose. By definition, if it's a low-scoring game, it's one that you can lose.
One play can...
I don't want that. I don't want that scenario. They're like I said, they're an 8-point favorite. They should act like it.
Is that true? The Patriots are 8-point favorite right now?
I think it opened at seven. I thought it opened at 7.5 and went up to 8, but maybe it went down to 7. I don't know. I mean, the last I saw it was 8.
Wow, that's a big number.
Well, they're all big numbers this week. Yeah. Denver by 7, Seattle by 11.
That's generally what you see in this round. You get the bye teams at home with a week off, generally heavy favorites.
Which means it'll be a big upset.
But it always seems
There'll probably be one.
There's always at least one wild card team that advances,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, there'll be one.
But anytime you say always, there won't be, right? I mean,
there are no absolutes, but
I literally though, there's a wild card team that sneaks Nate Solder. I don't know how he deals with coaching. You know, obviously we've never coached him, yelled at him, seen him turtle, not turtle, whatever. But I would grab him by the lapels, as they say, shake him and say, this whole game boils down to you. You need to win your battles. You got a bad mofo on the other line of the side of the ball. But you know what? You are a great left tackle. You're athletic. You're physical. I think you got to get in his ear, whatever. Whatever it is, he needs to do it. Get it done.
Okay. But
let's get a practice update.
You think he's going to need some help?
Probably.
Yeah. Eric's here.
Based on what I've seen for the last month, yes.
With a quarter-cut orange and a, I don't know if that's brown or
charcoal.
Gray.
Charcoal. Come on, Charles Gray.
You are colorblind because that's the furthest thing from brown. That is not brown.
It's charcoal gray. I think you have an issue. Yeah.
That is not brown if you
because
see brown
Because that's not
there.
The first time that you've been way off on a color.
Yeah. Yeah.
So well, your poop the lighting like? Here, I'm a distance away.
I'm a little lightheaded.
Yeah. Is that charcoal gray? Is that what you would say?
Yeah.
I would go charcoal.
Yeah. The shade is irrelevant. It's not brown.
And again, TV jeans, Eric.
Crew neck.
I have several of these.
Yes.
Yeah, I like them.
And broke back boots.
I like them.
Boots.
And the broke back boots.
Okay. All right.
Nice job, Paul. You brought the show to a screeching halt.
Andy made me say it.
He doesn't make you do anything, as you said yesterday.
I can't quit you.
Good news for your Patriots, Fred.
Okay.
All 63 on the field.
All right.
Brandon LaFell back. Alan Branch back.
Dan Connolly.
All of them.
Julian Edelman,
all
no red.
Everybody.
No red for, not well, not at the start of practice anyway.
Thanks, Paul.
Not till he stumbles into the locker room and like, oh, crap.
Yep. I even have the
so what,
photographic
what
evidence
to prove. What portion of practice were you able to see?
We saw the beginning of actual post-stretching time. We saw 13 minutes worth, so a little more than half of that was stretching, and then they actually came right up to us. I tweeted a picture. They did the little bag agility drills.
Yeah.
No, not for autographs, but they were literally as far as you are from me across the console here.
They were doing. Eric was a sick kid, isn't he? Sorry.
I don't even know what he's talking about.
The autograph part was funny. You ruined it.
Yeah, as he always does, Paul.
In my head.
No, they brought them over. They brought the skill position guys over to where the media congregates in the corner of the field, and they were doing their drill literally a few feet right in front of us.
Okay, why'd they do that?
Fred Kirsch. I was trying to think.
What are they doing here?
Trying
Fred
to show Kirsch, that
in between the lines.
Yeah. On a cold, bitterly cold and snowy day with everybody in attendance, this team.
They're not afraid.
Is not afraid.
Is it snowy?
Yeah, it's
wow,
it's snow flurry.
It
yeah, yeah, it's light snow.
Light sticking,
yeah,
too.
Yeah.
It's not going to affect my community.
They had to tarp the field.
They're saying an inch at most. Yeah.
So I think that's what I
the
read
bowl?
Into it. They're not,
yes, the bowl.
They're not a skeered.
Full pads?
Full pads as well.
Correct.
Nice.
Were they banging?
Well, not in the period that we got to see.
Not in the Gronk sense, just in terms of being physical.
Not in the Gronk eroticism.
The erotic novella.
Good stuff, though. So everybody's out there running around.
And I was watching
LaFell. You amped him up a little. See how he's cheered up? You told him they were near you. They were physical.
They were
all out there.
No red shirts.
Well, the quarterbacks.
Even Garrett Gilbert?
Yeah. He's a quarterback.
Is he?
But I was trying.
Hey, you can't hit me.
I was trying to pay attention to Brandon LaFell and his activity because they were doing that agility drill with the bags. And that's if you have an ankle injury, that's something to.
Sure.
I didn't notice any extra wrap or sort of anything more protective on either of his ankles. So,
why would you? He wasn't in a boot, right?
No, as he adamantly told us.
Exclamation point, exclamation
in
point.
In all caps.
Right.
And then he deleted it.
Then deleted it.
And then wasn't at practice.
Right.
But
he wasn't dying.
Yeah, here you go, Freddie. You go, nice little close up of the action.
Nice
today.
That's great.
Yeah. Putting their skill guys on full display.
Yes.
Against a defense that can't cover and play the pass. That's what he's doing.
Well, that is
They should be the one who should be scared with those skill position weapons.
And I'm sure they are. I mean, they have.
I'm not sure they are.
They've been completely death. No, I'm talking about the secondary guys, not Suggs and those guys. But they had a secondary that has been in disarray all year. They're down to like this. They have Ladarius Webb and then like the seventh cornerback playing. Ladarius Webb is a frontline player, but they've lost a lot of guys and they haven't been able to scheme around it. Defensively, they're so good in the front seven that they've been able to be a top 10 defense, despite the fact that their secondary, they couldn't cover Andy.
Yeah, I'm pretty quick.
WebRadio at Patriots.com is the email address, 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Gareth in Belfast says, can't wait till Saturday so that all the talking heads will shut up. There seems to be a general consensus that the Patriots should be afraid or worried about the Ravens, but I don't see it, and I'm sick of hearing about it. Yes, the Ravens have performed better against us than most teams, but they aren't the same team this year. Yes, Flacco played well on Saturday, but that was against a bunch of Jags and the ghost of Troy Polamalu. Let's see how he does against Revis, Collins, Hightower, and the rest. I'm calling a big Patriots win, followed by a beatdown of the Colts. Luck finally does it in Denver.
I do think there's a chance of the big Patriots win, too. I think they could come out and march down the field quickly and go, whoa.
Yeah, I think that could happen, too. Yeah. I think...
I'll let you know after the first series.
I think this could be a blowout.
Patriots
I really
Colts.
Do.
First series.
I don't
series.
Think there's any chance of that. I think this is going to be a blowout.
27-20
I think there's a chance that the Patriots could win big in this game against the Ravens. I think that what Andy is saying,
I do too.
If you protect in the first series and all of a sudden they go, you know, 8 plays, 80 yards, 7-0
All right.
I think you might get a
no,
knock.
And Brady will be all fired up yes. instead of being up.
Banging helmets
right.
with people.
Yeah. Yeah, instead of getting knocked around, he'll be knocking around his own guys after touchdowns.
And I do think, you know, and I know that we like to say, oh, the bye isn't the sure thing. It is. It is. I mean, it's something like 79-20 since the bye, or some ridiculous numbers like that. And not only Baltimore played last week, they played Pittsburgh, which is always a war.
Emotional game.
That's their big heated rival. They put a lot into that
game. They put a lot
game.
Into that game. They did.
Baltimore falls behind early, and they say, you know what? We got to do better in the regular season. We got to make sure that we don't put ourselves in the spot where we have to go on the road and play these extra games, and we got to get a bye next
There's
year.
There's also the intangible, and I don't discount this. There is the intangible of no Ray Lewis this time. There was Ray Lewis a couple of years ago, his last year. You know,
They
were on a mission.
Yeah.
And they were in all those emotional games, beating Denver and doing all that.
Of course it was. That's what they do in this league.
They don't have that this year.
The troll of Louisville says...
You tell me that Raheem Moore was on the take, and I'm not going to raise an eyebrow, because that's the single worst safety play I've ever seen.
We're going to talk in a minute about the weekend's games. But the troll in Louisville says, I love the fact that every expert and pundit is saying the Ravens have a huge shot at an upset. The Ravens are 2-5 against playoff teams. The team that the Patriots rolled out there last year in the 41-7 drubbing is a small fraction of the team that will be out there on Saturday. And the only thing the Ravens win on Saturday proved is that the Steelers are overrated. Our defense is far better than the scab in my butts the Steelers put on the field. The last 3 years has nothing to do with this Saturday. Nothing. This may not be a rout, but it's going to be a comfortable win. Ease up, Patriots fans. There you go.
I don't really hear a lot of fear. I got to be honest with you, Fred.
Well, I think I got him in the right mode.
No, you did.
I think
that guy's getting him in the right mode. Chester will call later and get.
He'll
him
get
in the
everybody
right
in the right
mode.
I
said
you
everyone straight.
Are Kevin Garnett scared?
I don't hear the team chattering.
What did I
chattering?
Miss in the first 15 minutes?
He's making things up again.
I think Fred has a little trepidation that he's covering up with false bravado.
Fred sounds like a Yankee fan heading into Game 7 of the 2004 ALCS. I'm not scared.
Right.
I'm not worried that we were up 3-0 and it's 3-3 now. We'll win. We're going to win.
That's what they're saying.
Look into his eyes right
now. As soon as Baltimore beat Pittsburgh,
I told these guys.
Fred tweeted out, cowards.
I told these guys, I'm having a great time. I'm thoroughly enjoying this. I'm really looking forward to this game. I go into this game with utmost confidence because for once we have a defense that you can really rely on.
I actually think that is the key. I think that you hit the nail on the head as to why
I think
Baltimore will not win this game.
Won't matter if Terrell Suggs and Haloti Ngata bitch slap Ryan Wendell.
I think it will matter because instead of an automatic loss, The other team's not guaranteed to have 28 on the board.
You're still in the game.
You're still in the game.
Oh, you'll be in the game. Yeah.
And I think they'll find a way to win
their offense. I don't fear their offense at all putting up like a ton of points. Unless Brady poops himself and gives them
the
points.
But if it was last year's defense, I would fear them putting up. They scored over 400 points this year. They're not a bad offense.
They're not bad.
But the Patriots defense is so much better than it was.
Yeah, but I have pretty good faith in Browner, Revis, and McCoy.
I'm saying to his point.
We don't give up long balls. We give up long touchdowns, but they start out short and then they end up long.
Yeah, the last
McCourty runs by.
The last 5 years, if it were one of those defenses, I would think a lot differently about this game because I think Baltimore has a good offense and a good defense.
Yep.
I think the Patriots are playing really good on defense. They've played really well on offense all year, not so much lately.
I'm not.
But
worried
I think
about that.
Their combination.
They're going to turn it up this week.
Their combination is huge, but I think that they're going to win this game fairly easily.
Yeah, I do too. And they'll put up.
I wouldn't say easily. I don't think they're going to be losing in this game.
They'll put up 30 points or more.
Well, then they'll put up 30 points.
I'm going to say with that, not without turnovers, they won't. They won't march up and down the field that many times against Baltimore. Yeah. You know, they won't. Not the way they've been playing the last 6 weeks.
Jonas Gray.
They will.
Can't wait to see.
Well, relax with the Jonas Gray.
Yeah. That's how you're going to win this game. You're going to line up and try to run the ball on this team.
They did last year.
No, they didn't.
In that 41-7 game, look at the stats.
They had like 140 yards rushing as a team.
That's pretty good.
They won 41-7.
They ran the ball when they needed to, and they did well.
Andy, you want to name the stats? It's 27 games without a 100-yard rusher, and never in the history of the franchise have they allowed 4 yards a carry.
Right, and 3.6 this year.
And you want to line up Jonas Gray and win the game that way.
In a season.
Right.
And you want to line up Jonas Gray, and that's how you want to win the game.
He's going to have a good game.
Somebody better tell him the game's Saturday, not Sunday, or he might not be there.
If they win by 40 points, they could rack up some rushing yards at the end of the game.
It'll
but that's not how they're going to get the 40 points.
It'll be Gronk and Edelman to start off.
Yes.
And Brady better be good.
For goodness sake.
Yeah.
Regular season
did
Brady.
Did you happen to notice Brady's hand or anything?
Here we go. Set it up already. Not even until Saturday.
He is such a fraud. He is so scared. He's pre-questioning things.
I will go
McDaniels,
back.
McDaniels, he panicked, and Brady's
it's
hurt.
It's our job to notice everything.
That's right.
And I noticed that you're scared.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, he was wearing gloves on both hands.
Both hands.
Oh, both hands. He doesn't do that.
Garoppolo only on his non-throwing hand.
Okay. That's because he's going to play. That's what Zoe would say. Did anybody have a play sheet on?
They both did.
All right.
Okay, good.
What did Garrett Gilbert have?
Garrett Gilbert had no gloves on either hand.
All right. Of the famous losing Gilbert family.
They're going to call him up from the practice squad. He's going to be playing. Yeah, right.
Very excited. All right, webradio at patriots.com, 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Let's go first to, on the Ace Ticket Hotline, Toso, Lincoln, Rhode Island. Hey, Toso.
Hey, what's up, fellas?
How you doing?
Good. All right. Let me first explain to y'all that no one is afraid of the Ravens, and no one should be afraid of the Ravens. And I'll give you my reasons right now. Because actually, Eric hit on that earlier. I doubt it. The 2011 and 2012 teams that we faced, one, they had one of the greatest linebacker of all time on their team, Ray Lewis. Not only did he have knowledge on Tom Brady, like as to how to beat him, but he was able to will that team to all those victories. So those two years that we played them, the toughness that it was, it's definitely not going to be seen again. Just because this year all they have is Terrell Suggs, and who else on that team is a veteran? Haloti Ngata,
Elvis Dumervil, Haloti Ngata, Daryl Smith, Ladarius Webb. This team is better than that team. I agree with Eric's intangible quality. I think they got a lot of inspiration from Ray Lewis that last year, and I do agree with Eric's point on that, an intangible thing. Talent-wise, this team is better than those teams for Baltimore.
But yeah, that's only up front. Aren't they missing all their most?
Yes, they have 19 players on injured reserve. Yeah. And I think seven of them are defensive backs.
Yeah, their secondary took a hit this year.
They lost Aaron Ross, Jimmy Smith, with two of their top three corners, along with Webb. They lost a guy, Danny Gorer, who was playing a little bit. And there was another cornerback whose name is escaping me right now that they lost. They lost a lot of – 19 guys on IR.
That's a lot.
By comparison, the Patriots have 10, and I think five or six of those 10 that the Patriots have are James Morris, Greg Orton, guys that you don't even know. They got hurt in training camp. Right.
No, this year, Patriots have been,
knock on wood, remarkably healthy.
Right.
Exactly. But even with that, let me explain to you, too. On offensive end, those years, they were able to control the ball way more because I felt like Ray Rice was playing at the top of his game. And now they don't have Ray Rice. So
yeah, they have a guy who's playing better than Ray Rice played the last time they played these teams.
Their running back is still pretty good.
5.4 yards a carry.
But you think they'll be able to control the ball? And
nope.
No, I don't, because I think the Patriots' defense is better now than it had been the last 5 years.
But they have a running game.
But they have all the things that you're saying that Baltimore doesn't have, they have. I just think the Patriots are better. The Patriots are better in 2014 than they were in 2012. That's why I think the Patriots are going to win this game.
You think the Ravens are actually a better team than they were in 2011 and 2012?
I do. Now, it's the same old story with the Ravens. Joe Flacco doesn't do it 16 games. That's why they go 10-6 instead of 12-4, because he's inconsistent. But for
best
games,
quarterback in the league, according to John.
But
Harbaugh.
For a game,
twice on Sundays,
mm-hmm. or Saturday, Saturday as the case may be, for individual games, he's as good as anybody. He just can't do it. Brady is great 16 games.
Why do you think that?
Manning
is
great for 16 games. He's not that good.
No, come on.
He is not. That is what separates consistency.
When I say that, when he's not that good, I don't mean that he has no talent. I mean he's not like Brady
good.
And Manning. That's what separates Rodgers from that.
Consistency. What keeps him from being consistent?
Ability.
Yeah, that's a talent. The consistency is a talent. Is an ability. Is a strength.
A matter of focus.
He's not as accurate as Brady, Manning, and Rodgers. So there are games where instead of completing 64%, it's 56, and they struggle. Do you know what I'm saying?
But, I mean, that's a cliche, but it's true with him that, you know, everybody has talent or the good, you know, there's a bunch of guys with talent. The consistency is key, and he can't find that. He found it for that postseason.
And I'm as big a Flacco supporter as you'll find. I like Joe Flacco, but that's why he is a second-tier quarterback. He's down to me with the Matt Ryans and those guys.
Drew Bledsoe.
Yeah, well, yeah. I think that
separated Bledsoe. Putting it together for a full 16-game season. He could be as good as anybody
but there was a game, stretches. But there could be a game.
He had trouble doing it in the same game.
Or a drive.
Right, but that is an ability. That is a, I don't know if you say it's tangible, that is a skill, the consistency to come play after play. You know, Andrew Luck is facing that consistency that keeps him from being the fifth-best quarterback to the third. And Aaron Rodgers is as consistent as anybody, more consistent than Manning and Brady, and that's why he's the very best right now.
Yeah, and that's an ability. It's like, you know, they talk about the different things that guys do, you know, staying healthy and playing 16. Some of those things are luck, but some of them are an ability. It's part of a guy's, ability to be on the field and to contribute every game. I think Flacco is good. He's not great. Now, I'll say this. If it's one of those games where they play well, let's say it's a 24-20 game at the end of the game and Baltimore has the ball, I won't feel great about it if he has a chance to win the game at the end, because the guy ain't afraid of anything. He's completely flatlined. He's unflappable. And
Unflackable.
I would not like the situation. Now, if it was like a really
Joe cool.
Now, if he played a terrible game and it was like, you know, 13-9 at the end of the game, and you're saying, oh, they have one chance to win it, then that's different. Like, he didn't play well. But if he's played well and he has this team in the game and they got the ball last, I would not feel great about it.
Let me ask a question. We all agree, I think, the offensive line is the Patriots' question mark
in this
matchup.
Yes.
Say that is fine, that they win that battle. What would the next thing that would concern you be, the reason they lost? If the offensive line does its job and that is not the reason they lose, where would you point next that is a potential downfall?
That's a good question. I would say lack of pass rush.
I think that's a
lack
good one.
Lack of pressure.
I think that's a good one.
And say they covered, they just can't cover forever.
If Flacco gets comfortable
Flacco
in the pocket.
Out of the pocket.
And both Steve Smith and Torrey Smith can, quote, uncover.
Runs for 15 yards on 3rd and 9.
Especially Torrey Smith with big plays. Mm-hmm. Steve Smith is going to get a lot. He'll fight for the ball, but Torrey Smith can beat
job,
you
Fred.
Down the
well
field.
Done.
That's a good one.
Good, Fred.
I don't take that as a compliment.
No. When he condescendingly tells you that you know something.
Because it wasn't passed along as a compliment.
Because you're a dick.
Whoa. There is precedent on this show.
Just go.
You cannot say that on this show.
Yes, I can.
You are not allowed.
Somebody just made me laugh. Dick Punch just followed me on Twitter.
Who's the pussy?
Oh, that hurts. They were talking about they were talking about the Radio Hall of Fame today with Maddie in the morning. And like you have to be old, and then Lisa was on, and she said, and they were going over like these names, and they were mostly they were famous like people in, of radio, and she goes, "Who's Dick Organ?" And I just started cracking up. Like, do you think that's really a guy? Was a guy's name on the radio, Dick Organ?
They probably got her in something.
That's my guess. Yeah. But they didn't laugh. That's why
Richard Organ.
Well, they were all afraid, probably. Getting in
oh
trouble.
No, they do it to her all the time.
Yeah.
I think she does it to herself. She likes playing that up.
Yeah. Dan at San Antonio says, I'm one of those that Fred was talking about. I'm worried about this game because of our O-line and lack of steam in December. I'm also worried about the rust factor early. Unless we start fast, I don't think we'll win if it's a trench dogfight all game. But if they do start fast, what do you think the game plan will be? I tend to think it would be like the Lions game here, but Flacco is not afraid. Thoughts
yes.
about the game plan.
Game
the,
plan. Spread them out, shred them, quick throws, up tempo. Mm-hmm. You know, everybody focuses on, okay, that stagnates the pass rush. But it does it even more so because if you get in a scheme where Doomerville's on the sideline because he's a rotational sub guy, you literally take him out of the game.
Yeah.
You don't even. It's not even like he's not getting to you. You took him out of the game. He's
no
on the
huddles?
Sideline. Sure.
No I huddles, think, up tempo.
Go with it. Go with
that would
it.
Keep that would keep Doomerville
right.
on the sideline because you wouldn't get yourself
see,
in third
that
downs.
To me, that gets to what I was saying early. Don't be afraid to go not just no huddle, but up tempo and have a quick three and out. Don't be afraid of
right.
that.
I agree.
You know?
And now the flip side of that would be if I'm a Ravens and I see them doing that, I'm bringing the corners up. I'm going to crowd the line of scrimmage and say, you got to make some plays down the field.
Yep.
You
yep.
got to get beyond me before my pass rush gets to you. And now we kind of have a little cat and mouse tete-a-tete going
sure.
on.
Tom in Baltimore. I live in Baltimore, hence being in
hence
Baltimore.
Hence being Tom in Baltimore.
And I'm calling out.
Thing you did show prep.
I'm calling out all Patriots fans who are going to the game to bring the intensity. We need that same energy that was on display at the Cincy game with a little more added. I'll be watching the game at a sports bar where I'll be outnumbered 100-1, but I'm taking them all on. Patriots Nation, get fired up. Can we have Chester give the pregame speech? Go Patriots Nation.
I was just going to see if Chester could get to Baltimore to help this poor guy out. He's going to need some help.
2 on 100.
Yeah. Yeah, but Chester's like worth 5.
Yes, because he's crazy.
Yeah.
He's Tom Curran, bat bleep crazy. weather report, it's going to be cold.
Yeah.
20s.
Now they're saying 30s.
Hold on.
Oh,
I'll give you the latest Weather Channel extended forecast. Hold on. Hold, please.
Because I had seen one that was 29 dropping into 20s.
Yeah, Saturday it looks like sunny. Highs in the upper 20s, lows in the upper teens. And so by kickoff it will be in that lower
Oh, it could be
teen.
Colder, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah.
Because it's going to be dark.
Yeah. It's
going to
be dark.
435
kickoff. 0% chance of
so
precipitation.
So it's going to be cold.
And it'll probably be windy because it's always windy.
But it's Tuesday and that can change.
It could change, yeah. But that's a good
And Bill doesn't even
Based on
that,
it doesn't sound like the weather is going to be
no.
a part
just
of
cold.
The game.
Yeah, just...
Just, you know, who wears sleeves,
what is
who
it in Baltimore?
Sleeves,
what is
blah,
in
blah,
Baltimore
blah.
Right now?
It's snowing. They're expecting 8 inches right today.
Baltimore?
Lucky them.
Well, in Virginia. In Virginia. So I imagine.
Hold on. Let me check Baltimore real quick.
Virginia's expecting 8 inches, eh?
It's 31 over there, and it'll be 24. So they're getting the big cold front that we're getting to.
It's going to be cold. It's January playoff football, unless you go to Denver, where apparently
it could be
it's
anything.
Warm. Right.
Could
it's,
be anything.
It's I mean, supposed
it, could,
to be cold.
It could be four, like it was
blizzard.
In the San Diego
right.
game
or
for them
60.
Last year. And then the next week in the AFC Championship game, it was like 60.
It's the mountains. They create that weird weather effect.
John's in North Carolina on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Hey, John.
Hey, guys.
Hey. Sup?
Hey, I'm the one I called at least 3 weeks ago saying, hey, the Ravens are the team. If you'll remember, I'm the one that said, 4 sets leading the NFL on yards per carry,
yep.
and Ravens are the team we're going to have to deal with.
Yep. Now you're here to take your victory lap and say, uh-oh.
No, not, we got yeah,
well,
now you're here to say, like, I'm not worried.
I'm here to say that, and I'm here to tell you about the past. What happened in the past, I know we all know what happened, but, I mean, just a reminder to people, when we lost to Flacco the last time we played them, which was, what, the year before last, and last year to Manning, what happened in those two games is both those quarterbacks never got touched. They stayed back there and crossing patterns ran for 8 seconds and they completed passes after pass after pass.
Yeah.
And that's what we have to worry about is because when we get knocked out and when we play Flacco, the NFL Network and ESPN both put up a stat which I didn't like because it's misleading. They put up a stat and said, hey, when Flacco has played Brady in the playoffs, Flacco's outplayed him, and they put up his quarterback rating compared to Brady's. The difference is Brady's, you know, dealing with a pass rush, and Flacco and Manning stand back there and survey the whole field. They go to the third option.
And that's why Fred brought up the pass rush as the second biggest fear. Now, I will say, I think it's better with the addition or advent of Hightower and Collins, you know, being somewhat creative. Ayers is giving you a little boost, and you hope that Chandler Jones is ready to sort of explode and take, you know, not has got fresh legs. Well, Chandler Jones got fresh
legs.
And
that Baltimore offensive line has been a little inconsistent, too. So I do think you can get some pressure on him.
And I really think that this is going to be a game that Matt Patricia gets his due.
I hope so.
I think that you're going to come out of this game going, you know what? That was a real good game.
You'll never say it.
I was going to
say Belichick.
We might, but he won't get it.
It'll be Belichick.
Belichick came out with a game plan.
Yeah, but don't you think if you're Bill Belichick this week, you're focused on your offense and talking to Googe about the offensive line and Brady and making sure Edelman and LaFell, who were banged up, are ready to go. You're kind of putting your energy and because of you know you've got a good defense. Don't you think you're Belichick a little bit more worried about your offense this week?
Not really.
No?
I think he does both.
I think he does everything.
All right.
You guys worried me a tad when you said, they had an emotional game against Pittsburgh.
I'm sorry. What was that, John?
I'm sorry. You worried me a tad when you said they had an emotional game against Pittsburgh and maybe it'll affect them because the last time they beat us in the playoffs, the same scenario at home in Foxborough was they had a double overtime on the road with the Broncos. Double overtime they won on the road. And then they came in and beat us. So, you know, I'm really not buying into the tired or emotional game or any of that.
Yeah, I'm not either.
Yeah, I think it's
but
a
from
factor.
From a physical standpoint.
That's what I'm talking about.
Those are dogfights.
And then the difference is you didn't play last week. That year, and I agree, John, that they played a much more taxing game going double overtime, but the Patriots had to play the week before, too. So, it was a little bit of more of a mitigating factor.
Was it Tebow in the Broncos?
No, I understand that they weren't tested in the game, but it is a factor when you have to play. This is you're coming off a bye and you're healthy. Eric just talked about all the guys out at practice and you know the perfect attendance and all that stuff. That helps. Yep. I'm sorry, that helps you and you're physically fresher than the opponent.
And Gronk is healthy. Yep. That's something we haven't even mentioned yet.
Well, I have because I put it all on the three.
Andy only talks about Gronk.
Have you read my new book online?
He's writing under pseudonyms now.
Yeah. Yes.
Thanks for the call. Let's go to Eldridge in North Carolina. Hey, Eldridge.
Hey, fellas. How y'all doing?
Good.
What's up?
I'm doing good. I got confidence, but I got a lot of concerns, too. Because I told y'all a couple weeks ago, I'm like, the Ravens is one team I don't want to see. Don't want to see. And I saw the game Saturday also. But see, Fred, one thing y'all got to realize, okay, if we don't lose it on the defensive line, it's the secondary. You know what I mean? Because Ravens going to hold this man down. But see, they got three receivers, too, that can go deep and beat you. Adams, and y'all keep talking about old man Smith. Well, I saw him run a bunch of young men and keep getting. And I don't think we got Arrington and Ryan can handle them.
You're saying the Ravens' defense is better than the Broncos?
No, what I'm saying is the Ravens receiver
close
against our second and third cornerbacks. That's a mismatch.
So you're not buying Browner.
Yeah, why is Steve Smith being covered by Logan Ryan?
Browner won't play on Magic Smith because he can't run with him.
Well, he certainly can't run with Torrey Smith.
He sure can't, and he can't run with Steve Smith either.
So you think Browner's not going to play?
So yeah, I mean, that's ridiculous.
I mean,
that's ridiculous.
If they had the confidence to match him up against Calvin Johnson, you don't think they have the confidence to match him up against Steve Smith? I think that's a decent matchup. I don't think Steve Smith's as fast as he once was. No. I think he's a physical guy that Browner can grab. And you know what?
Yeah.
Steve Smith is not going to run from the contact.
Oh,
he'll
no.
embrace it, which I think plays into Browner.
They might get thrown out, both of them.
I think there's a possibility, which is why I asked, who does that benefit? And Paul
Patriots.
Thinks it benefits the Patriots.
I do, too.
I do too because they don't have enough.
They don't have enough weapons.
Now is that scripted that they'll be?
They don't have enough weapons. Did y'all see Saturday's game?
If it happens, what are you going to say?
Did y'all see Saturday's game?
I saw Saturday's game. Yes,
I did.
Do you think Pittsburgh's defense is anywhere near as good as the Patriots?
Their defense, what they played Saturday, no. No, the way they play Saturday.
The
way Pittsburgh played all year defensively, do you think they're as good as the Patriots?
No, because they had to fight for four spots. But they turned it on towards the end.
Yeah. No was the short answer.
It sounds to me, Eldridge, you don't have the confidence in the Patriots defense that I have.
He doesn't.
Well, no one has that.
He just called them the secondary.
I'm just going to – I have to say this, Fred. No one has the amount of confidence in the Patriots defense that you have.
Well, Andy says I'm lying. I'm not.
You are.
No, I don't think he's lying about the Patriots defense. He thinks they're the 85 Bears.
If they don't put a rush on Flacco, because I saw Pittsburgh line manhandle the Ravens line, but Flacco still had time to throw. If we can do that, I won't be worried.
No, but what you're missing is the Patriots' strength this year has been their secondary. They have been good. They can cover. If Pittsburgh had the Patriots' secondary, they might have won that football game. You can't look past, and I know you're saying Logan Ryan. Well, I think the hope is Kyle Arrington, after a month off, is going to be the third corner, right? Not Logan Ryan. So now you have your most successful secondary back together. Right.
Thanks, Eldridge. Let's go to Jerry in California. Hey, Jerry.
Good morning. Governor. I see you all. All of you made it through New Year's, so that's always good.
Hell yeah. I was in bed by 9:30.
I got a couple of quick items, one comment and one question. And the comment is Fred and I are not afraid of the Ravens. And the reason being is if the Ravens play their A game and the Patriots play their B game, the Patriots are still going to win because
that's incorrect.
However,
there's no way the Patriots are getting by with a subpar game.
All I'm saying is it better be a B game and not a B minus game. But Paul, you could straighten me out on my second item, which is a question, and I'm sure I got this wrong, and I'm sure you can tell me what I got wrong.
Oh, he'll tell you.
It seemed like to me when Tom Brady was discussing the scrims that they had a couple of weeks ago, and they were saying it was a. I thought he said it was the first time they had actually played against the defense for a while, and this, that, and the other. And like I said, I must have got something wrong because obviously they have all these practices between games, and I always thought the the offense was practicing against the defense all the time.
No,
like I said, I must have misunderstood something. But what I'd like you to do is to explain to me, who doesn't understand everything, exactly what sort of things are they practicing when they have their practice, and who and what are they practicing against.
All right. Well, the scrimmage that they had last week, it was last week, and Paul doesn't go out to practice.
He's vice president in charge of practice.
But when they have a scrimmage, they're actually putting their ones against their ones, their starters against their starters. That almost never happens in a regular everyday practice. They have what's called a scout team or a show team, where they take the subs, the practice squad guys, the guys who aren't on the one units,
Joe Villanos of the world,
right, and they give them a look. They give them what they expect to see from the other team's defense, or swapping it, what the other team's offense does. And so they're generally not playing against their own defense. Like, Brady isn't throwing against Jamie Collins and Dante Hightower and Darrell Revis most of the time. There might be a few exceptions.
So that's
to that.
That's what Brady was probably referring to, Jerry, is it's probably been since training camp, since any extended, reps that he's taken with, like, Bronner and Revis in the secondary, and Brady's throwing the ball against them.
Okay, I guess that makes sense. I knew there wasn't enough people on the practice squad to make up a full defense of whatever, but if you take the practice squad members plus...
Yeah, like guys like Malcolm Butler.
The backups.
The second and third stringers or whatever, then yeah.
And in rare situations, elite-level players, when Bill wants a specific look, and so-and-so... Julian Edelman served as so-and-so this week because he could best replicate the quickness and uniqueness of some player. They do that, too.
Thanks for the call, Jerry. Joe in Kansas City. This game could either be a blowout or it could look like the Jets game in Week 16. We now have a healthy Gronk and a long-awaited solid defense led by Revis. I fear all of that could be derailed by our Achilles heel. The best way to ensure the offensive line does their job is to get them pissed off. If the media relentlessly claims all week that the line is soft and can't protect Brady, then we will see the attitude we saw against Cincy. Brady will then have 7 seconds per drop, and Jonas Gray will run for 500 yards and 6 touchdowns. Problem solved. On a serious note, Ray Lewis seemed to key in on the Patriots' play calls, particularly when they went up-tempo. Is it an advantage whatsoever that he won't be wearing the green dot on Saturday? I hope we punch... Hope we punch Jump Ball Joe in Bubba Grump right in the mouth. whoever those two are.
Who's Bubba Gump?
I don't know.
I think he's talking about Terrell Suggs.
Suggs is Bubba,
Gump.
He looks like
Jump
Michael
Ball Joe
Williamson.
Would be
absolutely.
Joe Flacco.
Joe Flacco? Yeah, I guess so.
I think everybody got the Jump Ball Joe, although I really don't like that.
There is a factor in...
Moniker.
There is that X factor in the booth.
I just think it's ridiculous. I think he's one of
the
best deep ball throwers in the
game. Ravens, Dean Pease. That is a factor. You can't discount his knowledge of Bill.
And he's pretty good.
And the Patriots. And he's a very smart defensive coordinator.
Let me ask you this. Do you miss having him as the coordinator of this defense?
No.
Let me ask you two. Do you miss having him as coordinator of this defense?
I'm happy with Matt Patricia.
I miss having him.
I think he was a nice guy, and I think he's a capable coach.
But, I mean, do you think he was scapegoated?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I do.
Yeah, he was run out of town, let go, and now
he's wasn't it a money thing?
Reached success.
Didn't he want more money, and they said no, and that was it?
I think it might have been more than that.
There might have been some untold story like that. I was not privy to.
I recall.
I've been the coordinator for 3 years, and I'm making 27 grand. I get a bump?
I thought I recall. Maybe I'm thinking of the special teams guy that left.
Sealy?
Sealy. Yeah, that
could be. Because he went to become an assistant. I mean,
he got a title.
Assistant head
coach. Assistant head coach.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, but he was the assistant head coach there, too.
He got a title. Nothing wrong with it.
That's right.
I happen to like both of those guys a lot. Matt Patricia is very good to Team PFW, and he's always very personable to us. Dean Pease was also. So I like both of those guys. I feel like there was more responsibility for Pease in terms of what the Ravens do on defense than there is with Patricia here with the Patriots. And I feel like he's a better coordinator. Because of that.
Semi-serious question that I heard brought up on EEI that I never really pondered. You know, we talk a lot about Charlie Weiss was too fat and so-and-so has tattoos. He can't be a quarterback. Would Matt Patricia be thought of differently if he shaved his beard?
Maybe.
You mean like taken more seriously?
Like as a head coaching candidate.
I think appearance has something to do with
it. Oh, as a head coaching candidate, maybe, but not as a defensive coordinator.
You never hear him mentioned for anything, and certainly part of that is the Belichickian shadow. But would he be thought of differently if he was a clean-shaven astrophysicist guy instead of the burly, bearded freak that some people paint him out to be?
I think knowing human nature, yes.
Because, I mean, let's play our little game. Who was the greatest coach with a big, bushy beard?
You mean head coach?
I don't know. I'm throwing it out there.
I'm trying to think of the argument that Matt Patricia should have been in line for head coaching jobs before now.
What?
You can't possibly be making the argument.
I'm just saying he never gets mentioned ever about anything.
But until now, he should never have been mentioned.
And that's fine.
They've had a terrible defense.
Right, but he's still not mentioned. Like, there's no mention.
Yeah, but I mean, he's done it for 16 games.
Like, I thought Eric Mangini was a terrible coordinator here, and he immediately got head coaching chance 1 year in. So I'm just.
I think the defense is. I was surprised that Mangini got as much attention as quickly as he did. Because I think he was only the coordinator for 1 year.
1 year,
right?
Oh, yeah, 1 year.
That defense was light years better than what they've had the last 5 years. And that defense wasn't real good. I agree with you. And I was surprised that Mangini got that. I think Mangini got that based off of Romeo Crennel and based off of what they had done.
Could be.
But Matt Patricia, I agree that with Fred's notion that counts. It's human nature. And he does not look like a head coach. He doesn't look like what you want a head coach to look like. The face of my franchises. Fred says the CEO. He doesn't look like that. And that hurt. And that probably will hurt him going forward. But that said,
if that's what he wants.
Yeah, I don't know what he wants.
Not every assistant coach wants to be a head coach.
Rob Ryan.
I'd want the money.
Has been a successful defensive coordinator. Now not this year. Obviously, they fell apart in New Orleans. And that probably had part of the reason why he's not a head coach.
Yeah.
He doesn't look like his brother.
Nope.
His brother cleaned himself up.
Right.
Slimmed down, too.
Yep.
So I do think that's probably part of it.
He's out of a job right now.
Cavern in West Palm Beach. First of all, for an excellent editor's note from the new PFW, you definitely set the tempo for all of us fans this week. I would encourage
Happy New Year one?
Anyone who has not read it to read it ASAP. Thanks for being a leader. Now to my question regarding defending the Ravens. One, how do we line up in the secondary against them? Revis on Smith? Torrey Smith,
yes.
Browner on Steve Smith, or would Arrington work better against Steve Smith?
I would like Revis on Torrey Smith.
Yeah, me too.
Me too.
Yeah.
I think he's the big play guy that I would worry about.
Two, we played well against the zone blocking scheme of Kubiak in the games versus Houston. is our D-line suited to stand up to this scheme again? Interesting quote this morning from Bill Belichick. They asked, will the Ravens cut block? And he said, is the Pope Catholic? So letters from Rome have already come in objecting to his use of that. But you know,
why, is that offensive?
Outrage. No,
no,
but
it's not.
Bill said it, so everyone's outraged.
Haven't you heard all the people complaining about
it? I'm sure Jerry Thornton is blogging about it as we speak.
But haven't you heard all the people complaining about it?
No.
No, those are just voices in Fred's head.
So, but, you know.
Which often fight with the voices.
Valid question.
Correct.
How is the Patriots, you know, particularly front
voices.
Seven and maybe include Patrick Chung to you know, defend that type of zone blocking, cut block type of thing?
They're athletic.
Yeah.
Best way to deal with zone blocking is be athletic. Yeah. Match athleticism with
Chandler
athleticism.
Chandler Jones, Dante Hightower, Jamie Collins.
Now, technique-wise, you have to use good hand work and protect your knees and all that. But I think they have a relatively light-footed, athletic front in New England, and I think that can match up well with a and they played well against the run, and they faced, as Bill said, every team in the league runs from zone blocking. I understand. We faced that a lot over the years, so they faced it.
Well, you're talking cover three, just like zone.
Yeah, what are you talking about? Who knows?
Finally, is Forsett as good out of
Tuesday,
the backfield
Washington,
as Ray Rice was in their passing game?
I don't know that, Paul. What's the answer?
Probably
to that, Paul?
Not in the passing game, but he's had as good a year running the ball as Ray Rice had in his heyday, wouldn't you say?
Sure.
Over 5.5 a carry and 1,200 yards, right?
What's that?
I'm looking it up as we speak. Forsett had 1,266 yards, 5.4 a carry, and he had 8 touchdowns rushing. As a receiver, 44 catches for 263, only 6 yards a catch. So that's a low number per catch. My guess is that Rice was probably more dangerous as a receiver than that, and certainly had more catches than 44, but capable. And also consider that they didn't really embrace Justin Forsett as their lead back immediately. That sort of took a while to develop, and they were like, hey, this guy is capable of being the man, because he was always a complimentary piece. He was behind Arian Foster in Houston, and he was never really the man, and I don't think Baltimore was willing to make him the man immediately, and that sort of developed over time. But he had a good year for them. They can run the ball, and they can throw the ball again. This is about the Patriots' defense and how much better it is.
He hasn't even finished one play, and he's already taking a second.
I know.
You know,
the first one.
It's like
have
he comes from a family
on.
Of like 50 boys, where you know food was scarce.
Thank you, sir. May I have another?
Andy, we're not going to take the food out of your mouth. It's okay. You can slow down. No one's going to deny you any food.
It's like a vacuum cleaner.
It's unbelievable. Kevin just walked in with a feast from what, Davio's? Is this a? Where's this
no,
from?
It's from in-house. Patriots.
Media workroom.
Well, it looks delicious.
Chicken parm. They do a good chicken parm here.
All right, so we're going to take a break because my mouth is watering. I'm starting to sound like Chris Berman. We'll be right back after this.
Hey, what kind of sub is that?
It's the Subway Big Hot Pastrami.
Subway Big Hot Pastrami?
No. Pastrami.
Pastrami!
What? Hey, get back here! Pastrami!
No, pastrami!
Look, it's the Subway Big Hot Pastrami!
Want to split it?
A little late for that.
Get your own Subway Big Hot Pastrami Melt, a monument of flavor loaded with dry rub, pepper-crusted beef, and melty cheese. Enjoy yours with mustard and pickles. Subway, eat fresh.
Limited time only at participating restaurants.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or tri-corner hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie, 3 Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Arizona. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square, across from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Xbox One is not only a game console, but the home entertainment system every fantasy football fan needs. The NFL on Xbox One is your connection to all things fantasy, giving you personalized news, highlights, stats, and scores instantly on your TV. Watching your favorite team play on Sunday but wondering how your fantasy players are doing? With built-in fantasy football, track your updates on TV in real time across NFL.com fantasy leagues, all while still watching live games. Xbox One, bringing fantasy football to your TV. Now available for $349 at a Microsoft store near you.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go, go. That's it. Come on, kick it into hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call *NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
The Patriots and Revolution Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, and much more, including Pro Shop exclusives and sideline gear from Adidas, Nike, and New Era. The Pro Shop is located next to Gillette Stadium and is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots and Revolution Pro Shop, your team, your store.
Fred's the boss, the chief, the leader of the PFW in Progress clan. And while he often goes on rants about fun facts, Skype, and making $5 the hard way, he sometimes has interesting things to say, or at least when you can hear him.
PFW in Progress.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. I just got yelled at because I didn't have my mic on.
Why don't you put your mic on?
Welcome to PFW. I had my mic off again.
Again.
Two shows in a row.
Turn your mic on, Fred.
Oh, I should remember to...
As sure as the stars shine above.
And Fred didn't turn on his mic.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress.
That's the longest you've ever gone.
And now, back to PFW in Progress. That is, if Fred remembers to turn his mic on.
All right, welcome back to PFW in Progress. Wow, that was a fine repast.
Well done,
go
Kevin.
Get myself some now.
Yeah.
We give you a simple task, and oftentimes you screw it up, but this time I asked for a big heaping plate of chicken parm, and you brought a big heaping plate.
Do I have permission to go get
some
for myself?
Chicken parm, you take.
And I got to credit the Gillette Stadium chefs because they
were there enough breasts
parm
on that plate for your liking?
I could have used some garlic bread. Was there any of that available?
Andy had 2.5 cutlets.
Plus, they're little though.
Yeah,
but that was good.
Yeah,
you
really
get the
good
bonus of dessert.
There was
today,
nothing
too
little about those pieces of chicken.
Okay, so you're right.
All right, so now I've got the fuel to carry on here.
We'll like more breasts.
Let's
though,
get in
Kevin
a quickie, a couple emails before we get back to the phones.
You
Alex
wouldn't know what
Philly
to do with them.
Oh, yes, I would.
First things first.
Oh,
looks
oh,
like
I'm
someone
done
beat Andy to the punch by making an erotic novel about Gronk. Maybe Andy will collaborate
no, that was Andy
on the second book. Actually, Andy was part of the book. Anyway, I hope this O-line as well as this offense is healthy and ready to go because they have a huge task this week. The Ravens are good, and for some reason they are even better against the Patriots, including Flacco, who I think isn't really that good at all. With all that being said, I believe that this defense is finally championship caliber for the first time in a long time, and that will be the reason why they win this game and eventually the Super Bowl. That's Alex from Philly.
I think the Ravens are getting a lot of credit, as they should, for having come in here and won two playoff games. But I think they're getting a little too much credit this week for the way they played last week in Pittsburgh. I don't think they're going to come in here and do it a third time.
Yeah,
I really don't.
Alex writes in another Alex, facing the Ravens is exactly what this team needs. This brings to light all the criticism of Tom Brady and the offense versus the vaunted Ravens. All the chatter will be about how the Ravens have a formula for us. The media has proclaimed the Ravens as the boogeyman who has Bill, Tom, and the Patriots' number. I feel this motivates the team much more than if they had to play the just glad to be here Bengals. This is exactly what sparked Tom to hit his FU hot streak. He gets to play against a team he hates, and he wants to prove to the media that the boogeyman is just a talking point. In the wise words of Rodney Harrison and Tony Dungy, the Patriots don't lose back-to-back games.
Speaking of Rodney Harrison and Teddy Bruschi, did you hear his cut from Dale and Holly this week where he was joking about, you know, they need to find a way to convince themselves that they're not
make
a significant favorite. They need, like Rodney used to say, where he would yell at the media and tell them, you don't think we can do it, even though he knew and we all knew everybody was picking us to win. You know, another one where we got it right at the time. We knew exactly what was going on. But I don't know if they have that guy now that has enough cachet to persuade everybody.
Vince?
Maybe Vince.
I'm not sure.
Vince can turn on the hate for the media and the, you know. You can do it.
Yeah. I think they can generate some of that. And I think there is enough of the Fred theory of there's enough of the sort of boogeyman mentality with the Ravens that they don't really have to manufacture it.
Right.
Everybody thinks they're going to win. Most people think they're going to win and cover. But there's enough of that. The Ravens were the team they didn't want to face that is legit that they could probably use those and foster some hatred.
As a coach, if you're motivating and Bill is telling us that, you know, all the other games don't matter, it's this game, do you use the fear tactic at all? Do you show Ray Rice going 80 yards and Terrell, you know, strip sacks? Or do you really ignore that and just focus on the here and now and what we are here and now?
Yeah, I focus on the here and now. I think.
Yeah, I wouldn't go back into the past
I
with those
either,
games. Because as the coach always likes to tell us, completely different team.
Yep.
Than the one.
Plus, you're also, I think, planting the seed of doubt.
Yeah, and I'm not sure you benefit.
I think this number one seed should be what Fred is saying.
Mm-hmm.
You're the number one seed, damn it. They're coming into your house, mm-hmm. damn it. You're the best damn. You have a defense, you have an offense, you have stars, you have everything.
Do your job.
It's that simple, Nate Solder. Do your job, and you can print out a certificate on Patriots.com.
That's right. Do your job.
Do you have,
they have to take those.
Do you share the emailer's sentiment that it's good to be playing a better team? Like, if it was just happy to be here, Cincinnati, as he described it, I don't think any of us would have even a blink of worry, of thought that there was any chance.
Oh, this is far more in line with my whole Jets thing, where
you want to beat a good
it's
team.
It's an interesting week, and you're facing a good team
that could
beat you.
I'm not talking about what you want as a fan, like, to watch, like, for your entertainment value. Like, the last several years, the divisional round has been a formality.
Right. I would rather have it be a formality.
Yes.
Why would you want to face a tough physical?
I'm not sure you benefit anything out of having a tougher game in that game than you have
if you
the last 3 or 4
two
years.
Two buys to open the postseason, I take
them. I'll take them.
Why would you ever?
Do you remember the old double buy talk?
Sure.
Double buy this week. You know, Houston.
Right. You don't have a double buy
Denver,
this year.
Indy last year.
Right.
Yeah. Let's go to Anthony in Richmond, Virginia. Hey, Anthony, you getting snowed on down there?
No, actually, it's partly cloudy right now. Okay. So, but then again, just hearing weather reports, I'm not surprised because Virginia weather reports, I'm not kidding. You could get all four seasons in one day down here. It's not a joke.
But isn't that how it is everywhere? Everybody complains about the weather everywhere and the weather reports.
And nobody does anything about it.
Right. Ignore the weather. Live your life.
Exactly. Exactly. Now, the game, I don't know if anyone noticed, but the last time we played the Ravens, and I think personally that was a better offense for the Ravens than what they have right now. And they had Anquan Boldin, Ray Rice, Joe Flacco playing for a huge contract. First couple drives, they played against us. They weren't getting anything done. And then Aqib Talib gets injured, and then the floodgates were just opened up at that point. So I think if we can avoid injuries at cornerback, which I'm praying we can, I think we'll be just fine. Now, I don't think it's going to be a blowout, but I think we can definitely hold them off and keep them to, like, say, 16 or 17 points, and then Patriots could get like 28 points on the game.
I could see that.
Very reasonable.
I could see that.
And yes, I certainly don't want to see Revis go down or any of the corners.
No.
I prefer not to, as the previous emailer said, have Logan Ryan on the field, because do I think Joe Flacco will do what every other quarterback has done and say, where's Logan Ryan? Yes, I think he probably would.
Yeah, the only thing I would disagree with is from the Baltimore side, I think this is a better offense than that. They've lost Boldin, but they've replaced him with Steve Smith, who has been good. Different kind of receiver than Boldin, obviously. But I don't feel like – I think that once they started throwing the ball in that game 2 years ago, they threw it all over the place. I think that they were fearful of the weather at the outset. That's what Flacco said after that game, is they weren't sure they were going to be able to drive the ball downfield when the game started. Once they did it a couple of times and they knew – they changed their game plan. They just said, we're going to throw it all over these guys.
Boldin
and that's what happened.
Was sick, though. That whole postseason.
Oh, Boldin was very good. Boldin
he had a Larry Fitzgerald-like postseason that, if you remember, all Patriots fans wanted after that was either Boldin or somebody like that, a big
but
physical
here's my point.
Guy who can make plays,
if
go
a guy,
up and get it.
If a guy has a great game in the playoff game, then you automatically think, well, they were better. Well, Boldin didn't do a whole lot in the regular season.
Oh, no, he was irrelevant.
Steve Smith did.
Right. Now,
it was
if
a little
bit weighted towards the beginning of the year.
Well, he's been really good lately, too.
Right, but he's like the Patriots' offensive line. It's been high, low, high, low,
but
high, low.
But if Steve Smith has a really good game on Saturday, then you don't look at it and say, well, they really missed Boldin. Now, if he does nothing on Saturday, you're saying, well, that Boldin was the difference. Because Boldin was the difference in that game.
Right.
He was uncoverable.
Thanks, Anthony.
And Steve Smith, we've already said our mea culpas or whatever, but I thought he was done, and he's not done. So
he had really, really good year. He did.
Mike from Rancho Cucamonga, California. First, I want to mention, I thought I think Jimmy Garoppolo played really well for how horrible the offensive line played last game.
How could you tell?
Second, I think usually what will derail the Patriots is pressure in Brady's face, but I think they will spend most of their time scheming to stop that. My prediction is that there will be 3 Brady sacks, but overall the offensive line will have played decent game against an excellent front 7 from the Ravens. That's Mike from Warranty and Supply at Extension 2404.
3 sacks is
I love the deadpan, Fred.
That's a little worrisome for me because 3 sacks also probably could mean that there's, 8 hits.
Well, plus 3 sacks could be, what if 2 of those are strip sacks?
Well, the game's over.
No, it's not.
Yeah, if he's sacked 3 times with 2 strip sacks, game over.
I'm not willing to say that.
I am very willing and able.
Because I think your defense, Fred, can hold to a field goal.
Mike writes in.
The game is a defensive coordinator.
I don't know why.
Defense gets better every time we mention it.
Mike says, I don't know why the hell people are talking about being scared of the Ravens. The Ravens haven't beaten crap. We're the better team. We have a better quarterback. We have a better secondary. We have better coaching staff. Stop all this stupid talk about being scared and grow some balls. To all the fans that say we're scared of the Ravens, they're nothing but a big park bully to get their nose bloody. Terrell Suggs likes to beat on women. Come on. beat on the Patriots, punk.
That's
so,
good right
there. You go.
Yeah. And I wouldn't be egging him on to beat on my quarterback. Dude might bring out a pipe.
crack
bring a knife to a gunfight.
Yeah.
I watched a little of that the other night.
Did you?
Saw that scene.
Really?
Adam in New Jersey. I'll be completely honest, but the Ravens being the matchup made me nervous. I know in the context of the season I shouldn't be, but the past playoff games against them have left me scarred. If the Ravens aren't a reason to worry, what team still left in contention scares you in the AFC? Also, what do you think the most effective game plan will be against the Ravens? If you had to pick one possible downfall, what would it be? And I think we all agree the offensive line, right?
Mm-hmm. The game plan to me would be what Andy said.
Spread them out.
High tempo. Up tempo, spread
in and out of the huddle,
quick throws.
Don't allow
Suggs and Doomerville,
slants
and Nada and Williams.
This game is all about
to control the game. Get the ball out quick. Get those guys tired. Get Nada off the field. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you run no huddle, big fatties get tired.
You know what he can do? Nada.
There's fresh legs.
Not if he's not in the game.
I barely said legs.
You know the guy who impressed me the other day? I mean, I know he's had a really good rookie year. Anyway, C.J. Mosley. I don't know if you watched the game the other night.
And not the same guy that
Not the guy who threw the cheap shot for Detroit against, I think, Danny Aiken.
Yeah.
He had a really good – he's really active and really athletic.
They like their Baltimore –
they like
Daryl
Smith,
Alabama
too,
players.
Even though Daryl Smith's 110. He was pretty active in that game, too.
And I'm not sure it's a layup that Patriots have the better coaching staff. I think they have a pretty good coaching staff.
I think they have a very good coaching staff.
Right?
It's proven that
especially
they can match wits with you.
Top three versus top three, head coach and your two coordinators. Dean Pease is a veteran coach who Patriots fans should think enough of because, you know, Belichick thought enough of him to have him here as a coordinator. And Kubiak is an ex-coach like Josh McDaniels who failed as a coach but is a good offensive mind with a scheme.
Yeah, but if Patricia shaved his beard, that put us over the top.
Possibility.
And it just knocked over something.
I didn't touch it.
He didn't touch it. That falls out all the time, that mic. Fred,
yeah.
You know, your whole fear thing,
yeah.
You know, and I agree with you, fear is not the right word, but...
cautious respect, I mean... What you,
yeah,
what
I mean, that's one of them, is I think that you have an enormous edge in coaching 28 times that you play in this league. There's only three or four guys that I say, you know what, you don't have an... You're better, I think Belichick is the best. But the gap between Belichick and John Harbaugh is not great. Whereas most weeks, like Jim Caldwell on Sunday... the play after the controversial pass interference people have not talked about.
Right.
Fourth and less than one from the Cowboys side of the field, up three. Go for it. You do the JV move when you try to draw him offside.
Make that whole play forgotten. If you get that first down, it's all forgotten.
And then
instead,
your compound matters, but when you punch the ball backwards.
Right.
You know.
But that never helped.
The whole thing was just so... I thought illustrating the difference between the guys that can coach. You contrast that to Saturday night and the Ravens and Steelers, both of those teams, and I don't think a tremendous amount of Mike Tomlin, but he ain't afraid. I'll say that for him. And
no, that's why he pounces.
Harbaugh and Tomlin both went for fourth downs in their own end. Tomlin deep in his own end. Harbaugh was around midfield. Might have even been across midfield, but close.
So not in his own end.
No, it was close. It was close. I just in case it was like the other team at 47. I know that. I know I'll get corrected on it. So, but they both went for, and that was, you know, you're winning the game. Your defense is playing great. All signs said to punt, and they didn't. Now, unfortunately for them, the next play was the play that Forsett fumbled. So the Steelers, and I think it was in their own end because I think that long pass ended up being like 45 yards down to the 1 yard line. So I think it was in the Ravens' end when they converted that fourth down. They're not afraid. That's one reason. What did you call it? Cautious? What?
Cautious respect.
Cautiously respectful.
That's why I don't think it's this bad thing that you sit there and say, oh, we're not playing the Tim Tebow-led Broncos this week? No, you're not. You're playing a team that's going to come here expecting to win.
Dana's in Connecticut. Hey, Dana.
Hey, Fred. Thanks for taking my call. Appreciate it. How you guys doing today?
We're doing good. I'm enjoying every minute of it.
I am, too. I'll tell you, I got a couple quick comments, and I got one question for you guys. The comment I have is I think Matt Patricia is a benefit of Revis Browner and the emergence of Hightower and Collins. But I think that's the only difference that, you know, it doesn't matter what he looks like.
I know, but you could also say that, you know, the Patriots' defense has managed to keep points off the board even with the problems they had. How much credit does Patricia get for that? Or did Patricia not make enough of the talent he had? So I don't know. I don't know the answer.
But every coordinator is better when he has more talent.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
I think he's a benefit of the talent, because if he was that good, he would have managed it a little bit better last few years.
Whoa. The man overseeing the defense is considered a genius, Bill Belichick. So why didn't he manage it better?
So what's Matt Patricia? Just a puppet? Why give him a title and a paycheck?
I think so, but
kind of what I feel.
People like you never give him the credit and only rip him. Like you're saying, he didn't maximize the talent in recent years. Well, what about Bill Belichick? How does he?
I'm ripping him. All right, let me get to my point, because you're just being rude right now. I'll tell you
good,
what.
Dana, good.
I think the first thing I want to say is I'm of the thought process of putting – Revis on Smith, small Smitty, and taking him completely out of the game. I would put Browner on Torrey Smith, because I think he's easier to get a jam on. He can roll up cover two covers. I wouldn't leave Browner exposed on Smith because he's too fast. But I think you're going to see some switches and some games there.
I agree.
I'm a little bit concerned with Patrick Chung in coverage. He's been exposed lately. That was his weakness. We got away with it early. But I think I was worried, Paul. I mentioned to you a couple weeks ago, I was very worried about the Ravens. I'm not so much anymore. I think it's going to be a 31-13 game. I think we're going to get a lot of pressure on Flacco. I think we're going to bang him up pretty good. The three keys, I'm going to get off the phone here. The three keys are Wendy, Stork, and Conley. They absolutely have to get off the ball and engage and neutralize the middle, because if Brady has a pocket in the middle, it doesn't matter what happens on the outside. They'll get some chip help and get those guys out of the equation. But if they get pressure up the middle, it's going to be a tight game.
Okay. Thanks.
So what do you guys think about the other Revis on the small city as opposed to the
– No, I like that. I think Revis can totally take – Steve Smith Sr. out of the game. You can take him out of the game. And then, like you said, with the over-the-top help,
I don't like that.
I think Browner can team up and you can really limit the other Smith.
I don't care for it.
And I think that's the higher percentage play.
No, I think they're going to mix it up. I don't think there's an obvious full 60 minutes one. They'll mix it up some.
I could see it either way. I see Fred's point. I am more respectful of Torrey Smith than Steve Smith. I think he is the more dangerous player, and I want my best player on him.
If Steve Smith has a 7-8-9 catch game in the intermediate zone, which he could do against Browner, because I think he could get off the line against Browner, where Torrey's going to have a tough time getting past Browner. I think that's the matchup there.
Yeah. We'll see.
I don't see that.
Yeah, it'll be fascinating. Thanks, Dana.
I just look at Torrey Smith as the better player, and I want the better player on my best cover guy on their better receiver. I know Steve Smith has way more catches, but Torrey Smith has 11 touchdowns. That's the guy I fear.
Well, I think in the red zone, I think everything changes.
Respect.
You know, I think now things are a little bit different maybe in the red zone. But
high red zone or the low red zone?
Low red zone.
Zone?
Yeah.
Cover
the low red zone, you know, you get to that case where Browner's off the field, and right. Now it's just Revis, and it's, the Calvin Johnson thing.
Right.
But I would liken it to that game. Remember, we were talking about that game, Golden Tate, Calvin Johnson, and how they would do that, and do you use Revis on the better receiver, or do you go more the size, the big, small? And in that game,
they did more the size,
even though we both kind of all said kind of scared of Browner on Johnson. So, who knows exactly how they're going to think this matchup unfolds.
Eddie's in Maryland. Hey, Eddie.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hey.
I'm excited about this game. I really am. I'm glad that it's Baltimore they're playing. I don't know how anybody else could want any other team.
I would have taken
seen
into
the history of this team, though. You've seen the Patriots the past 5 years in the playoffs. They're a soft team. So why not, right off the shoot, get the big boy? Let's see if you're good enough to win the Super Bowl. Plain and simple.
Yeah, but what about the year you beat the Ravens?
I just want to win
then,
the Super Bowl. I don't care how I get there.
But even the flaw to the argument is the year you beat the Ravens, okay, so you proved you're tougher than the Ravens and lost the Super Bowl. So you weren't good enough. I would take another bye. I would have taken Andy Dalton, Marvin Lewis, and the laughing stock.
I am
Bengals.
Not picky. I just like to win Super Bowls. I don't care how I get there.
I get that, but it just – so you guys think that just – by playing a softer team, they would have showed you that they were good enough.
It would have made it easier
to get there. And I don't think that there's anything to be gained. And I guess I'm in the minority on this, by playing a tough physical team and being tested. I've heard a lot of people say, you know, one of the reasons the Ravens are such a good playoff team is because they play in that AFC North and they're constantly banging heads with Pittsburgh and Cincinnati, who are pretty good teams. and the Patriots, you know, they don't have that competition in the AFC East. That's a bunch of crap. I'll take the bye every time. I'll take the bye in the easier path.
It's a tough team. It's Baltimore has something. Harbaugh and Flacco have something over Belichick and Brady's heads.
So why would you want, if you really believe that, why would you want to play them?
Huh?
If you really think that, why would you want to play them?
Because it's Andy's thing. To be the best, you got to beat the best.
No, you don't.
No, you don't, though.
I'm not necessarily talking about the Patriots. I'm talking about as a fan. I'm saying that.
Then I would want to face the lesser team so I can know that I'm rooting the following week, January 17th. I'm watching another game.
We did that in 2011.
Yeah, but you beat the Ravens and lost.
You beat the Ravens.
So you weren't any better tested or metal or crap.
We beat the Ravens. No, we luckily beat the Ravens. We weren't a better team than the Ravens, though.
Oh, okay.
Do you think we were a better team?
I agree with you. You luckily beat the Ravens.
Not that day, but
or the other 2 days against the Ravens. So in your head, you've lost to the Ravens
three times in the playoffs.
No.
Yes, I
think the Ravens have been the more physical. I think this year, though, we actually have a better team than Baltimore.
I agree.
From top to bottom, I think.
I agree. Top to bottom. The only problem is I'm fearful of the defensive line, offensive line matchup ruining all the rest of it.
Our offensive line there. Yes.
And that's why this is so imperative. I want to see if Bill has learned anything from the past failures of this team. There's a softness to this Patriots team that I don't think they have this year. But let's see. I want to see them right off the bat. Let me see how that defense came, what they can do against the Ravens. Are going to try to run the ball. That's what they're going to do. That's their MO. So let's see, you know, how we combat that. And then obviously the passing game is going to fly off of that. The two receivers, the two Smith, you know, the Smiths, and so we're going to see how we cover those guys. But they're going to try to run the ball. Let's see how we combat that. We've had some issues at times this year stopping the run.
Yeah, but it's been a long time.
And that
unit has pretty much proven itself since that Jets game.
And
gotten better. And
they have.
I'm pretty much in on them.
And I'm also looking for them to create some turnovers, which they've done every game.
I'm in agreement with you guys. I think that the defense is
– When they have
they
do.
We have the talent on that side of the ball that can really affect – make the other team's offenses really have to work at it, and you know.
So when you're talking about your sort of physicality and toughness, you're just talking about the defense.
Yeah, I'm talking more about the defense.
Because I'm sort of with Dana too. Not as much just the three guys in the middle, but I put Wendell and Solder. Those two guys could potentially have physical matchups that I don't know if they are tough enough or strong enough or ready to win against guys like Nada and Suggs. So
I'm sorry. Andy, sorry, I'm talking about the defense. I'm talking about Patriots defense.
No, I know. No. I know you're talking about that, but I think you could win that and be like Fred said. Your defense is much better. Will Fork and company and Hightower, they stuff Forsett, make him one-dimensional, and because Brady's getting his ass whooped, you still lose.
But that's another point. That's to Paul's point about maybe Brady's not the quarterback we think he is.
Well, I don't think anybody's the quarterback. Everybody's got a plan to punch him in the mouth.
Just to clarify, that's not necessarily
Brady
my point.
Good since 2004 in the playoffs. I mean, can we agree to that?
I don't think he's
Paul will definitely agree with
I don't think he's played as well in the playoffs as he does in the regular
season.
That's
what I mean, the playoffs.
I absolutely agree with that. And I think that's true of most quarterbacks. Joe Flacco is one of the outliers. He seems to be better in the playoffs than he is in the regular season. And
especially
consistently
for whatever reason.
It's not just the Patriots.
I mean, just think that the Ravens have...
He's won his last five playoff games, and only one of them was against the Patriots.
You know, that's what I think. I don't know.
All right, Eddie.
You're scared.
For the call.
What do you want me to tell you?
You know, Flacco, his numbers are pretty impressive. I mean, 5-0, 13 touchdowns, no picks.
Right.
Last five playoff games.
Sure.
Only one of those was against New England.
Sure.
So he beat four other teams, too, in the playoffs. It's not like just a matchup thing. Oh, he kills the Patriots.
Which balances out that win he had on one hip with the Patriots.
Right, he didn't even throw. I think he threw 10 passes
for like 30 yards or something ridiculous.
That was unbelievable. That made that game all the more frustrating. Is
they had
you lost to a team without a quarterback, literally without a quarterback.
Lost is not necessarily accurate.
Right,
you were bludgeoned by a team.
You were what you like to say they're going to do: rape and pillaged and all that.
It was the most lopsided 33-14 game I can ever remember seeing.
Matt in Cranston, I love the show and had 2 points. First off, I wandered over to CSN NNE and noticed that Shalise Manzi-Young wished a happy birthday to her favorite multilingual, travel-loving, Rhode Island-born member of the Patriots. Who was she talking about? John Rook? And is now when Fred says that Shalise is a friend of the show. He usually saves that for alumni of the paper. But would he make an exception for Shalise? I think she's a friend of the show, and I'm sure she was talking about Eric.
Yes.
Is today
Eric's
birthday?
Yes.
Oh, geez. Who knew?
52.
52?
Who cared?
But I'm mainly writing to mention that I loved it when Paul started feeling his oats in the hosting chair during the pregame show and slapped both Eric and Bad Andy around. And kudos to Kevin, who also joined in the gang up on Bad Andy. Well done, gentlemen. I was at the game and had to listen later, and that exchange was worth the wait. And Paulie, don't play that game and tell us you don't remember what happened. You still remember the opponent when Bledsoe completed 45 of 70 passes.
Well, I remember that.
Rally from behind in 1994, sparking their run to the playoffs. And Fred, don't tell him unless he needs it, but it was the Vikings in a 26-20 win.
I knew that. It's the Kevin Turner game.
Needless
to say, I'm a big Bledsoe guy, and to hear complaints about lack of weapons, come on. Michael Timpson, Leroy Thompson, Ray freaking Crittenden, Matthew Slater looks like a Hall of Fame receiver compared to those guys. Well,
there's no question.
And he's caught more passes in the Pro Bowl than they have. When it was time to hear from
Eric. He's also been to a lot more Pro Bowls than they have.
When it was time to hear from Eric in the press box, Paulie commented about how you hated the segment. Then for what seemed like the 10 minutes that Eric was on the phone, Paulie's only contributions were to take credit for sending Fred home and then to ask Eric to break to spread out, presumably to save you a decent seat. Eric took it all in good fun, but I'm not entirely sure that Paulie wasn't drunk with power from hosting the pregame show.
I like that pause, drunk.
For 2 hours with power. For dealing with Bad Andy throughout. Keep up the great work, and somebody get Paulie a Diet Miller for the next pregame show. Those Diet Millers are catching on.
Yeah,
they are.
Yeah, but I won't have to worry about hosting anymore because the Beetle will be back.
Imagine that.
That's right.
Because we know Miller Lite changes their shtick all the time, the Vortex, the old school. Imagine if they just go with Diet Miller.
Diet Millers?
I would be like, freaking kidding me.
Bob says it's all about attacking Flacco.
Beetle's car got
if
stolen.
He stands back there like last time, we lose. Very tough game. TG and NJ says, I assume you talked about it. The Patriots are going to lose because the Ravens coaching staff is better.
We didn't talk about that.
The revenge of Dean Pease. He's still pissed. Get it? Pease is pissed. Where's Andy?
Pease is hard on himself.
Oh.
No, that's a Mike Reese headline.
Let's see. Can we run on them? Can we get pass rush, please? I think it is the key to the game, pressure on Flacco. I'm assuming our secondary will get the job done.
Me too.
Brady cannot play like an idiot. Stop forcing the ball. You may have to run again, Tommy, and tell McDaniels to run it in the red zone. Can't explain it. I kind of get a Fred-like feeling we are going to win comfortably. Okay?
That was a real negative tone until the end.
Yeah.
Well, I think the beginning was a little sarcastic.
Nobody was ripping. Brady, you're going to have to run, and you can't force it, and McDaniels run the damn ball.
Dan writes in, hell has frozen over. I'm in agreement with Eldridge. Revis will be fine against anyone, but if Browner is on either of the Smiths, to me that feels like advantage Ravens. Steve obviously has lost a step, but I think he still has enough of a combo of shiftiness, physicality, and experience to get the better of Browner. On Torrey, if Browner can get the early jam, and if we could rush the passer, he'll probably hold up. But if not, we're looking at either a deep completion or a spot flag. However, in this case, it's not the matchups that have me nervous. Until last week, the Ravens hadn't won a playoff game in Pittsburgh. They've already proven something this postseason. We still haven't proven we can win the type of playoff game this will likely turn out to be, which is good because I'd like to know if they can if they're headed to Arizona.
That's following up the caller's
idea. Another person
idea.
Who
yep.
thinks this is a...
Yeah, I've heard a lot of people say that. I just don't get that part of it.
I wouldn't either.
I would rather have a game that I was... Listen, I'm not overly concerned about winning or losing this game because I think the Patriots are the better team. I agree with that notion, but it doesn't matter to me the style as much as the fact that the defense is now better. You know what I mean? Like, I understand that the style of game that Baltimore wants to play, the big, rough, tough, physical bully, but if you weren't better defensively, I would be worried about it. Not because I wouldn't be looking forward to the challenge of trying to see if I could beat them. I'd be worried about it, but I think defensively, the improvements that they've made have put them in better position to win these kinds of games.
Doug from Brazil, wait a second. 3 weeks ago, Andy was arguing he would want to win the division in a fashion against good teams like the 14-2 Jets. Now he prefers the easier path to the Super Bowl.
Yes. Isn't that obvious? Entertainment-wise, there is more value in a week like this.
You can keep explaining this.
They're just idiots.
No one's ever going to get it.
Is it hard?
If you're asking me what the fan of my team, I'll take Fred's approach every time. I want 111-0. I don't want to have to be worried. I'll bludgeon everybody in the league. I don't care. from a pure entertainment point of view, when I don't really care, I just want to see good competitive games. That's more entertaining to me.
And there's also a difference between the regular season, where I like to be entertained.
Right.
And
playoffs.
Now
just
I'm
win,
kinda,
baby.
Entertainment kind of goes out the window.
There's no
now.
Style points in the playoffs.
Right. Survive in advance.
No one's going to say, if the Patriots right. win 17 to 16 like they did against the Jets, no one's going to say, they can't play like that next week and win. No one's going to care. You just survive and move on.
Fred writes in, the last matchup between Revis and Smith Sr., one catch, 5 yards, although that was a couple of seasons ago.
I don't get the point.
Yeah, I don't know why this.
Do I think that Darrell Revis can take away Steve Smith? Yes.
But I don't know why this selective in his sleep, history.
In his sleep.
No, but the issue isn't that. It's what happens on the other side.
It's the selective history that's driving me crazy.
And I actually think physically and I think Steve Smith would get caught up in simply wanting to be more physical than Browner, and you almost take him out of his game. He's not now focused on what he should be focused on. I think he would want to prove to him, I'm bigger, I'm tougher, I can punch you, I can break you, like blah, blah, blah.
It's the three playoff games don't count because look at all the guys that are here for the Patriots that weren't there then. Gronk and Revis and Browner. But last year's regular season 41-7 beatdown, that counts because Steve Smith played in that game and Justin Forsett played in that game. I remember them. Right?
That's sarcasm, Fred, just like, in case you're confused.
It's the selective history that I don't get. So when Steve Smith was in Carolina, he had a bad game against Darrell Revis. So that means he'll have a bad game. I don't understand that.
No, I don't think I think Fred
I mean, if
was
they played,
merely
if
pointing
they played
out,
like 15
you're looking
times,
at head-to-head matchups. And
once?
That's a piece of evidence.
Once?
That's all.
Like, what did Carolina have? Was Carolina good that year?
I think it's worth pointing out. I don't think it's an end-all, be-all fun fact, but I think it's worth pointing out.
Yeah, but we ignore the not-so-fun facts is my point.
No,
we only point to the fun facts. The two playoff losses, we don't point to those because
I think that's all we've been doing.
Those don't – not Patriots fans.
That's all they've been doing.
The national media has been pointing to that.
And
Patriots fans have been poo-pooing it because
– this is a team I don't want to face.
Not Patriots. Are you reading your own emails?
That's because I have them all ginned up.
Oh, they're all on the gin and juice.
Right. Lamar is in Baltimore. Hey, Lamar.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Have them all ginned up.
Hey, I have a question. First of all, let me start by saying, because I live down here in Baltimore, and a lot of the – I agree with your comment that you just said about the selective history. They forget that last time we faced the Ravens, the 41-7 blowout, and they had – oh, you just reinforced that. They had Smith, but we were groundless, and our secondary was a little bit banged up. But
that's right.
Right. There was a lot of guys that didn't play in those games, so don't pick one as being relevant and not include all of them as being relevant.
Right.
That's
exactly
my only point.
And that's Brady's points, too. These are both different teams.
Exactly, and I had a question about offensive line. How do you guys think that they will stand up against the attack of the Ravens' defensive line?
That's
like
the
it.
Game. I really have no idea. As I open the show, and I know this is stupid for a Tuesday analysis of a game, I'll tell you after the first drive on Saturday evening. I think you will learn a lot.
That's the term of the game.
Yeah, I think you'll learn a lot. Now, are they capable? I think they're capable. Are they a sure thing? I don't know how after the last month and seeing three of them banged up that you can say, yeah, they're a sure thing. I just you can't.
And I feel if this
Thanks,
is going
Lamar.
To be a game, if they control the pass rush, it's going to be one of those games when you look back and say the coaches control the pass
now,
rush.
Right.
Because they got the ball out of Brady's hands, a lot of three-step drops, shotgun spread, boom.
I heard a caller on the morning radio show this today saying, you know, why aren't more
people – That's Sports Radio WEEI, right? Dennis and Callahan.
That's the one I was
okay.
listening to.
Because yeah. there really is only one. You're well said.
Wow. The one you mean the one that came in third in the ratings as opposed to one?
No, the one that's actually a sports radio show.
Oh. Anyway.
Not the one that's really a 70s music show packaged as a sports
radio show. I questioned both
show.
Of them on that front. But anyway, let's not get sidetracked. There was a caller who made a point and asked you if you'd agree. Why aren't we hearing more people comparing to this game to the Detroit game? And using that as a comparison of what the Patriots would do against a team with a good front. Do you agree with that? That's a valid comparison if you're trying to figure out how the Patriots might fare.
What did the Patriots do in that game?
I think they handled the Detroit defense pretty well and protected Brady pretty well.
I think they protected
that's
Brady
what,
pretty
that's
well.
That's mostly
yeah,
what I think they're talking about is how are you going to protect Brady?
Yeah, I don't think offensively they were great in that game. I know they scored 34 points. I think there was a lot of defensive setup, and I think Detroit has no offense to speak of. None. I think it was made much easier for them. I think that they need to do what Andy said it off the top of the show, and I think that's how they need to attack it in terms of spreading them out and maybe even hurrying up, you know, going with some up-tempo stuff and no huddle. But Detroit, to me, has absolutely nothing offensively. 321 points they scored. It's almost 100 fewer points than Baltimore scored. Do you consider Baltimore like a high-powered offense?
They
scored almost 100 fewer points than Baltimore.
Well, Baltimore's like, what, eighth in the league in scoring?
Yeah, Baltimore's a pretty good offense. Yeah. Detroit is terrible. Yeah. I'm trying to illustrate a point here.
I'm specifically talking about how the Patriots fared against a good defensive front in protecting Brady.
To be honest with you, I couldn't even tell you how they fared. I don't think that they were that good.
You remember.
Did he get sacked? I don't know.
You remember what happened in 1991.
No, but I can tell you they lost the game 34-9. Detroit lost 34-9. But I can't tell you, was the protection great that day? I don't remember.
It was pretty good.
You're asking like a specific.
I think we'd remember if Brady was getting killed.
Well, they had a couple. Remember the fart
they went 3-and-out like 4 times in a row in that game.
And remember the issue they had with, I want to say, Stork and Conley, where they basically let Sue go unblocked. They had a couple communications issues.
Yeah.
But that defensive front did not dominate the Patriots like you might have feared it could have.
Right. That's the point.
But what is the point? I don't understand.
That's exactly the point the callers have.
Maybe we look at that game a little bit more and try to figure out what
did they do scheme-wise. So that's what I'm asking.
Know.
What did they do?
I don't know. I mean, you're my analyst. You're the guys I pay to do this.
Yeah, you don't pay us.
Yeah, I don't.
Craft basis.
That can change. That can change.
I think that the Patriots will. I don't know what they did against Detroit. I don't know the similarities between the two. I couldn't tell. I don't know enough about football to know if they have a similar scheme, Detroit and Baltimore. I mean, my mind's eye tells me I don't know anybody like Suggs and Doomerville for Detroit.
Right.
They don't have edge pressure the way Baltimore does. So I don't really see a lot of similarities.
Okay, and so you disagree with the
inferior guys are more athletic than Nada. Nada is athletic, but he's a power guy. Sue is an athletic guy. That's a dominant athlete.
And I'm not saying I disagree with it. That might be dead on. I don't know enough about how Detroit plays defense compared to the way Baltimore plays defense. I don't watch those teams every game to tell you this is the scheme that, you know, can we get to the cover two, Andy? I mean, sorry, the cover three? Or are we going to talk zones? What are we going to do here? Like, I don't know what their base coverages are. I mean, on the surface, both of those defenses are stronger in the front seven than they are in the secondary.
Yes.
I would say that.
Chester writes in, I hear that the nation needs some direction on how to view this game. Can't call in today due to work, but I'll be back tomorrow and Thursday. It's time to start believing. It's revenge time 2.0. No fear, says Chester. So we'll have to wait until he calls to know how to talk about this game.
Now we're looking for revenge.
Yeah, Bose. That makes no sense to anybody listening. But
certainly not to me.
Chris with a TIAN is calling in. Hey, Christian.
Hey, guys. Well, we meet again.
That's right.
Bring on the Ravens. I don't care. Bring them. Bring the loudmouth here. Bring Harbaugh, bring Torrey Smith, bring Steve Kitsenia, whoever the hell else, because we're going to send them back to Maryland in a friggin' box come Saturday night around 8 o'clock.
By the time we're done, he's going to be Steve Smith Jr.
Yeah, that's right. We're gonna absolutely beat him at the submission. Absolutely.
Right.
Okay?
Fine.
And it's, listen, we have a defense now. Paul, you hit it off perfectly. We have a defense.
Freddie's defense, Christian.
Okay?
Freddie's defense.
We don't have Devin McCourty and Matthew Slater and Julian Edelman running around the corner.
We don't have
Marquise Cole covering Aquan Boldin. We don't have that. We actually have a defense now that can cover these guys.
And that's why I have a lot more confidence going into this game.
I totally have a lot more confidence, and I respect the Ravens. You do. Because of the head coaching, because of the quarterback play. Like you said, 28 out of 32, you have the advantage. This team, you don't. Okay, they're not scared of you, but they scheme-wise, they're a smart team. They're not stupid. They're not going to make mistakes.
Yeah, and I still think Belichick is better than Harbaugh, but you don't have that big, enormous advantage
that
you normally do. It might be a push.
I got the Watson course.
Yeah, this is going to be one or lost on the field.
It's not a mouth breather.
There's not going to be any brain farts by the Ravens that are going to lose this game.
No, definitely not.
Well, you never know. I
mean, either team could do it. There could be a brain fart by the Patriots.
I mean, I wouldn't think that either. And then
he just,
you know,
scoffed at me with his face.
No, I'm just going to, like, you know, in the divisional round a few years ago, we faked a punt from our own 30-yard line. I mean, everybody has a brain fart. I'm not willing to say John Harbaugh is infallible.
Right.
He might screw
it
up.
But you go in against Marvin Lewis and you go, okay, that's going to happen.
I don't expect it. It'll be a surprising fart.
Right.
Well, do you not remember the whole thing with the championship game with the whole field goal crew off and on the field and the special teams coach and that whole thing after? And
yeah,
you know, the kid still should have made it. It was a 3-yard field goal, but, you know.
Yeah, I think that's one of the more overblown criticisms that you.
Yeah. He's
kid missed an extra point. I don't put that on the coach.
Plus, he's not a kid.
Yeah. It's 32 yards. So, hi, Andy, and the kid. Andy, nice job on EEI. You know, Andy has two laps. I'll leave you with this. Andy has a that's the terrestrial radio laugh.
Don't forget that one.
Web radio. And then he has the web radio laugh when he's talking about boobies and dickies and dickies.
Right. I got to appeal to different audiences and different mediums.
Right.
You do. You did a great job. I'm proud of you. And,
thanks.
It was good. You got me through a long week there with everybody on vacation. So it was nice.
Thanks.
All right. Thanks, so, Christian.
All right.
You know what? He's right. That was a long week. My rides that week were terrible because I couldn't listen to anything. It was bad.
Are you including me in the good news?
Oh, yeah. Do you listen to me
when I'm on? Yes, I listen to you every time.
You do not. And what do you always say?
He really doesn't.
No, and I wouldn't if I don't listen to him. And the reason is because I'm with him every day. I know what he has. I know what he thinks on topics. I don't need to hear him.
Could support me.
No, actually.
Teammates supported each other.
Gary from Ohio writes in.
We're not teammates. We're associates.
Browner on Smith Sr. is a bad idea. He needs to be
a bad idea.
He needs to be on Torrey with over-the-top help, and I think the difference between us and any team in the AFC is our secondary. I think if Browner gets physical and the refs let him do it, we dominate the Ravens. He is the it factor in this game.
How many times do Patriots fans need to see over-the-top help fail before they stop thinking that's the be-all, end-all? How many times do I have to see Devin McCourty overrun a guy and turn a 5- or a 10-yard play into a 50-yard
Bill
play?
2 weeks ago, the Mike Wallace bomb. We'll put Malcolm Butler on him, but we'll give him over-the-top
help. Over-the-top help is not
later.
A guarantee. You know what a guarantee is? Darrell Revis.
And I think Bill sends Browner out there, and he punches them in the mouth, and I think Bubba Gump gets his, and he is a no-factor.
All right, let me just get back to the original premise here. We feel Steve Smith on Browner is a recipe for disaster. So the physical receiver against the physical corner is a recipe for disaster. The physical corner against the speed receiver is what you want. Does that make sense to anybody?
Not me, but these people does.
And listen, I think Andy might be right. This might not be one of those 100% Revis on Torrey Smith, Browner on Steve Smith games. This might be a lot of mix and match. Maybe they play sides. Maybe it's left and right. You know, maybe it's one of those deals, but on the surface, Torrey Smith is a big play receiver. Steve Smith is a physical receiver. I would think that Browner matches up better against the physical guy than the speed guy. And I'll tell you an underrated thing that I would worry about. Torrey Smith can run by anybody. Now all of a sudden he's 45 yards downfield and you throw one up and there's the penalty. And you know, everybody calls him Jump Ball Joe. Well, he can throw the jump balls because his guy's open all the time. And he can throw them down there, and he's going to get a play. He's going to get a chance to make a play.
And the other thing we haven't
talked
about.
That's what I worry about.
Like, it's just a passing game, but they're going to try to run the football. They're going to have some of those boots. And we've seen Chandler Jones get sucked down a lot in his last couple seasons. He's a guy that I worry about being too aggressive on some of those boots. And then
too amped up.
Not that Flacco's going to run and kill you, but now you're giving him all the time in the
world. Functional mobility, as Jaws called
it.
Yes. Functional mobility.
So I would worry a little bit about that, too. Those guys getting sucked in on some of those
I wanted to slam him in his stupid interview glasses. He must have said functional mobility for Joe Flacco 15 times.
Why you hate?
I like Jaws. I just thought that
I can tell.
He kept saying the same thing over and over again. I get it. He can move. He's more athletic than you think. I get it.
Melvin's in Tennessee. Hey, Melvin.
It's because he's white.
Hey, what's going on, y'all?
Hey. What's up?
Hey, what's up, man? I got a quick question, y'all. I talked kind of on the PFW Elite page. I thought this was an easy question. Maybe not. But just the most important position on the offensive line. I clearly would think just in the NFL, the left tackle would be some people feel like a center.
No, left tackle.
I agree.
It was a very easy question with an easy answer.
I think left tackle.
They are drafted that way. They are paid that way. They are put on an island that way. They can't be covered up that way.
I would put center fourth ahead of only right guard. I would go left tackle, right tackle, left guard, center, and right guard.
Sure, it's possible, but I think there is a massive drop-off from left tackle to everybody else.
Great. I feel like that, too. And I guess I could always say, I mean, just to justify this, even if so, like you can see as a quarterback if a, I mean, he has help. The center has help.
Yeah,
you can
always
see if he's getting beat.
The most help.
You're right. So I didn't understand that, but I mean that's really my whole point of this conversation. I just want to make sure that I feel like that everybody could understand, you know, that even if Brady himself, like even if in the game, if he gets hit from behind and he's turning his back, you know, I feel like that hit's going to be in any quarterback's brain the rest of the game. You know, if you can't turn your back and feel comfortable passing, you know, I feel like it's going to throw whoever off. So I feel like there's something else that's going to be key to this game. I've seen Flacco himself sit back there, drop back with a lot of time to throw that long heat. We're going to have to put some pressure on him from the outside. So Jones is going to be really important, I feel like.
Yep.
That's the only thing I got to say, y'all.
All right, thanks, Melvin. Eric writes in, hey, Fred, Paul, Andy, and even Eric. This is my first email to you guys since I usually listen to the podcast the next day.
Thanks.
I found your podcast when I was mourning the second Super Bowl loss to the Giants and found some much-needed therapy in PFW in progress. I also found that loud buffoon Pete Shepard, but he's gone, so screw him. Anyway, I have listened to every podcast since and want to thank you all for getting me through some tough times and making the good times even better. With that said, I am worried about the Ravens, particularly Nate Solder's ability to not be a turnstile. Only Fred's fearless demeanor and homerism is going to make me feel better this week. I think the only way they will beat the Ravens is if Brady spends less than 3 seconds with the ball in his hand. Flacco's success in the playoffs, particularly against the playoffs, worries me. How can they make Flacco look like a punani on Saturday? I want to hear some predictions as to which defensive player is going to be the key to this game.
I think Jamie Collins could have a big game. I think Jamie Collins is right scratching the surface of superstar.
But don't you think Chandler Jones needs to have a good game, too?
Yeah, I don't have as much confidence.
It would help, but I think the two inside, the Hightower and Collins, to me, have been the backbone of that defense.
Chandler Jones has let me down too many times. Every time I think that he's got this matchup with, this left tackle's off the street, he should own him, he gets owned. Or this rookie left tackle just got moved from right tackle, he gets owned. He needs to prove it to me that he can step up on the big stage and be the big boy. Jamie Collins is closer to the big boy right now.
Tim in Pensacola. What's up, Tim?
Fred!
Hey!
You honor me with your presence today.
Oh, God.
You honored me with your honor.
Thank you, man.
I
haven't been able to call in for a while because of work, but I have a...
It was great, wasn't it?
Huh?
It was great.
What?
You not calling in for a while.
You see what happened.
No! That was not great. The many Tim and Pensacola fans were in mourning. But I actually have a quick question about the Ravens game, and then I actually have a question about now I'm not going to call it a contradiction because that's not going to be fair to you guys, but I just wanted to ask you about something. As far as the Ravens game, I think the smart thing to do is to put Browner on Steve Smith, because I think if you put Browner on Torrey Smith, he's going to get burned, torched. Yeah. It's going to be a 40-yard play, either a pass interference, or he's just going to get burned because he doesn't have speed. But I think this is the perfect matchup with Steve Smith, and I think Revis will be able to take away Torrey Smith, and then you just kind of worry about the tight ends and stuff. But
I'm with you, and I also think there's something to be said for, you know, the whole talk about what referees know and they're human beings. They know Steve Smith wants to be physical. So I think they'll let Browner and Steve Smith be more physical. If Browner just grabs Torrey Smith, I think you may have a chance to get more flags there because they know he doesn't want to fight.
Exactly.
What's the over-under for when I make my first sigh because a ref missed or made a call that I don't
Third
like?
Play on defense.
I was going to say Ravens' first offensive possession.
Yeah.
Right. But my other quick point, and then I'll let you go, just slightly off topic, is actually something you guys sided with me on when I was having a fight with my cousin or disagree with my cousin earlier this year. Because, you know, I like the tall, fast receivers and all that stuff. And he said, well, you can't get them because they'll never get your offense. And then you guys actually sided with me. And I think it was Paul. You said that it was arrogant to assume that, you know, these guys, like all these athletic receivers wouldn't be able to get it. But a couple of things ago, we were actually listening to PFW in Progress, an old podcast together, and you guys were having that discussion, would you train Gronk for Calvin and all this stuff? And, Paul, you brought up the point that, well, you don't know if these guys can get your offensive system or something like that.
Well, not if they can get it. If Brady See, there's a difference between them understanding the system and Brady getting comfortable with them. And I think that there's been a rocky transition with a lot of different guys in Brady.
Right.
You know, 2 years from now, if Garoppolo is the quarterback, I won't be as worried about that. The worry then will be, can Garoppolo play?
Right, but
you know, I'll know Brady can play regardless, but I won't know if Garoppolo can play. But I won't worry about, well, Garoppolo's not throwing the ball to Calvin Johnson because he's not exactly where he thinks he's going to be. That won't be an issue. It'll be whether or not Garoppolo can get it to him. That'll be the issue.
Right. So you say it's not really the offense and the adjustments and all that stuff. It's more the precision.
I feel like that. And that's actually a theory that, Fred, you were way ahead of the curve on, talking about. You can't even give him a compliment. It's really embarrassing.
What?
You know, like, no, you used to make the argument that Brady is so far ahead of everybody in this system.
Yes.
That you call him like a PhD and everybody else is in high school.
And it's very difficult for the other people to be at that level with him.
And he's almost, it's like Ted Williams. I mean, Ted Williams tried to be a hitting coach, and he just couldn't do it because he expected people to be able to do what he did.
Yeah, and it's not like an indictment of Brady.
No.
It's because he's been in this system so long. He thinks everybody should know everything that he knows.
Right. All right. Thanks, Tim. Let's fire through some of these calls. We're running to the end. Next show, John Rook is out, but Scott Scudikoff is.
Scooty.
I call him Cough Drop.
Yeah.
He's going to be filling in.
You're better off saying that than whatever you pronounce his name.
I think it's Scudikoff.
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 Okay. Right.
Yeah, Bose.
Isn't that what
I said? Yeah, Bose.
Anyway, he's going to be filling in.
He's
radio
got his
veteran.
Tux jumbo shirt on. You see that?
Big play-by-play guy.
Yeah, Bose.
Knows the Boston sports scene like no one's business.
Is aligned with the Division III powerhouse national title winning.
Saw you doing sideline work at that Harvard game, by the way.
He's having issues.
He's having issues. I don't know. Am I on?
Yeah.
Am I on?
Anyway.
It looks like
now.
A DJ holding his left ear.
Yeah.
Oh, I wasn't trying to talk yet. I was just futzing with the headphones.
All right.
That's futzing.
You took him futzing. Off guard.
What is futzing?
Yeah.
Fiddling?
Yeah.
Sounds dirtier.
So Scott's going to be here filling in from
2 to
4. I was
futzing this girl on the couch.
So if we don't get to your call or email, believe me, he will. Let's go quickly to Miles in Boston. Hey, Miles.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Great.
As well as know, too, from the beginning of the year, I got to admit, you guys, I've said I like you guys a lot.
Starting
to make my day go by so much quicker.
You're welcome.
I don't fear the Ravens. The only thing I do have an issue with is that I think if I would have seen Brady do something, and I understand this guy wasn't in, that guy wasn't in, this, that, the other, but just by his frustration of not being able to move that ball and that D, okay, yeah, you have Brunk out, you have Elderman out, your two key players, but to me, he just doesn't. I don't know. These last couple of games, they forget about Baltimore. A couple of other games, he just doesn't seem like Brady. Brady, and I think that O line, if they come full force and they know they smack him in the mouth, it wasn't like the old Patriots O line. You smack in the mouth, they're gonna smack you back, and they're gonna hold it down. I think if they come full force in the first couple of plays and they get manhandled a little bit, I think that's going to be a game changer right there. Because when we start shuffling around our O-line, it gets worse.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's the only thing I got a problem with. That's the only thing I really got a problem with. They give Brady just a little time, just a little bit. I think he can do it. But they just haven't played enough hurry up offense this year. I haven't seen them do it enough that it's sufficient that they can do it with a defense like this.
Yeah, they got to keep that defense on their heels. Thanks, Miles. Big Al's in Valdosta, Georgia. Hey, Big Al.
Hey, fellas, I know you got no time here. I'll make it real quick. The only way we lose this game is if we lose two offensive linemen to injury in the first half. That's it. If Cannon and Klein have to play a lot, we're in trouble. But if they don't have to play very much or little at all, then we're in good shape. Patriots win.
Okay.
Have a great week.
All right.
See, Al.
Wow. Big Al, short and sweet.
Rarity for him.
Yeah, and showing brimming with confidence down
the
in Georgia.
The short or the sweet part?
Yeah, I don't. Both.
All right, well, finish.
I don't. Do you agree with that? Like, he has no fear of the starting five.
Yeah, I mean, I think they're going to be okay. If I didn't think they were going to be okay, I would be worried about this game.
I am worried about this game for the reason of those starting five.
Yeah. I think if Connolly is okay,
he's fine.
Then Solder will be better. Stork is rookie of the year. And, you know, Vollmer's had a good year. I think underrated. I think he's had a solid year. I think he gets lost because of some of the other troubles.
Well, he got a lot of all-pro votes, didn't he?
I think he got a lot, right?
Oh, I thought he was...
Tom Curran?
No, I thought he had four.
Oh.
Oh, that's a. I mean, is that a lot?
Four out of 50?
I thought he was.
No, but if it's like the second most, you know, then
no,
that's
it wasn't
a
the
lot.
Second most. I believe he was like one vote away from being second team All Pro again.
I think he deserved it.
Yeah, I think he had a good year.
Yeah, so.
He's, I mean, we've talked
he's
about.
Third best tackle?
The finale that. No. The
third best right tackle.
Yeah, well, yeah. Do they do it like that? I don't even know if they do
it.
Oh,
I don't know.
But yes, he would be the sixth pair of, you know what I mean? That
you could sell me on that.
But we said that when he and Conley were out for the finale. Your two best offensive linemen were out. Those are your two best.
All right.
No, it shouldn't be that way, but it is.
All right, one more call. Chris in Las Vegas. Hey, Chris.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. What's up?
Hey, you know, I've got the one concern on offense and one concern on defense. My concern with our defense front is that we struggled down the stretch actually protecting the middle of the field. Do you think that maybe Brower should be on Owen Daniels? Because he can be pretty sneaky, dangerous player.
I've heard a lot of that, and I think that would be sort of wasting Browner. I don't think that Owen Daniels is the type of guy that is going to change games. I think he's a good receiver, but I don't think he's going to. It's like when Scott Chandler had all those catches in Buffalo. Kobe Fleener. You know, they can have big games, but they're not going to. You know what I mean? They're not going to beat you.
And you're essentially now putting Arrington on the outside on Steve Smith, where everybody hates Arrington.
I don't like that.
Although that's a couple balls of muscle going at it. Holy crap!
Well, Paul's getting a little. Andy's getting a little excited over that.
They're both good athletes.
But I have heard a lot of that, Chris. I've heard locally on some of the radio shows talking about Browner and Owen Daniels matching up. And I just don't feel like Owen Daniels is good enough to match up with Browner.
Yeah, I don't either.
I don't think that's worth it.
Now, I could see Owen Daniels beating Patrick Chung, so.
Yeah, and if they don't match him up with Browner and Owen Daniels gets Patrick Chung and linebackers or whatever, I wouldn't be surprised to see Owen Daniels catch 6 for 75.
But Owen,
maybe even a touchdown.
Owen Daniels,
but I don't think you lose the game because of that.
Well, Owen Daniels might beat you if the offensive line struggles. Like, he could score a touchdown and have decent
and
numbers.
And you win 17-13, yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
You're not going to win. Baltimore's not going to win 31-27 because Owen Daniels had 158 yards of receiving.
He's not going to be the way that, I can't think of it, Anquan Boldin was. You know, you're not going to look back and say, wow, he just really carried
the took the game over and we couldn't stop
him. No bleeping way.
All right, Scott, it's time for you to take over. What do you got? What's your thoughts on this game? Are you scared?
No, not scared.
You're not scared?
But I think scared and worried are two different things, right?
Okay.
So and there's some
a lot
worry.
Of semantics in this game.
Semantics.
Not in my book.
Big semantic game. Yeah, there's a little bit of worry because it's human nature to think back to the games that happened, but I was listening on my ride in, and you guys, you know, bring up the fact that it's totally different teams, even from last year's game. The Patriots won 41-7. I think you would agree the Patriots are a better team than that team last year, 41-7. I'm not sure where you put the Ravens as compared to last year.
A hell of a lot better than that team last year.
But both teams are better. So you think about that and see what the results this season.
I agree.
Should
both,
be confident.
Both teams are a lot better, I
If
think.
The Patriots don't win, it's a hashtag epic fail.
I have this thing, Scott, where if I have this thing, am I emotionally prepared to lose or not? And if I am emotionally prepared to lose, it's basically saying that, yeah, that other team's
it basically
maybe
means
better
they're
than
like
us.
24-point underdogs.
But I am not emotionally prepared to lose this game. If the Patriots lose this game, yes, it is a fail.
I would say
it is, you know.
I would say I'm emotionally prepared only because it's been happening recently.
Yeah, I'm not doing that. I'm not
so
doing
you're
that.
A little bit of a
I think if they lose, the C word comes in.
Whoa.
That's a choke.
Oh.
The CH word.
Yeah. Well, he worried me because I said meow and he said the C word.
Well, I did it on purpose.
Yeah.
They are the better team. They're playing at home. They're a heavy favorite. They are improved over the teams in the past. We can argue what Baltimore is. I don't care. I'm worried about my team is a lot better than it was in the past. You should win this game.
Now you sounded like me, Paul. All right, Scott Sudikoff from 2 to 4. And then all your fantasies at 4 o'clock. We'll see you tomorrow at noon.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.